Here starts the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Hey, Bobby.
I have a very serious question for you.
All right, I'll be very serious with you then.
Okay. I guess it was probably a year ago you were talking about Jerry Lewis and Ed McMahon.
Constantly.
Right, and when they were saying, my friend, my friend, my friend all the time.
During the telethon, right.
Yes, my friend.
Right, and...
right, my friend.
And you didn't like it at all.
Right.
But we had a problem with that, my friend.
Well, you say my friend to everybody now.
And please don't tell me.
106.7
you are so unsophisticated. Hold on. Please don't. Please do not tell me that again. I must lower the bar for the show. That you do not understand that when I say my friend, I am mocking that. You mean you don't understand that?
No, actually, I thought I was going to win a prize because nobody'd said anything about it for a year.
Let me tell you something. If you don't understand that, you've got a long way to go, my friend.
I do understand it, my friend.
No, you don't, my friend.
I do.
No, your very comment alone proves that you have difficulty understanding simple concepts, my friend.
What, my friend?
I thought it was hilarious, my friend.
You thought what was... No, you called...
Hold on.
You called what you said was a serious question. You wanted to try to bust my balls about that.
Absolutely not. I wanted an honest...
My friend.
I'm sorry. I was sitting here. I heard what you said, sir, and what you said was you used to mock us, mock Jerry Lewis and Ed McMahon, and now we talk like that.
I still mock them. That is our way of mocking them.
Okay.
So you were calling to bust chops about that, and now you're trying to reverse it, and you think that we're so lame that we're not going to be able to get it.
I guess after I thought that within a period of a year, somebody else would have called.
Moron.
That falls into a special annoying category. When someone calls for that very reason, and then as soon as we catch them on it, you know, they try to backpedal. Dope. And then he tries to do that, you know, because he just doesn't want to admit defeat.
Jerry, my friend.
See you, my friend.
Sammy Davis Jr.
My friend.
My friend.
My friend. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello there.
Hello. Hi, my friend.
Don, Spokane, Washington.
Yes, turn down your radio, please, my friend.
Hey, hold on a second.
But thanks to that guy, even though it was an annoying call, we will be able to once again revisit the pleasure that is saying my friend.
Good?
I think I do say it a lot.
Yeah.
My friend.
Yeah.
Hello, my friend.
Buenos dias. Bueno arbusto, my friend.
bueno ding-dong diddly dias, senor. I watched a great Simpsons the other day where he said something like... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Hello? Is this the same guy?
Yeah, this is the same one.
But didn't I hang up on you?
Is this the same guy that was calling about my friend?
No, it's not.
It's a different guy.
You guys, this is the what is this?
Mr. King.
No, wait, don't hang up.
I'm staying with you.
Okay.
I don't know why. Oh, yes, I do. I'm fulfilling a 5-year contract with CBS Radio.
Yeah. What you want?
What do I want?
No, don't repeat the question. You heard the question.
I did hear the question.
Why is it so difficult sometimes for us to take calls on our show?
I don't know.
And I turn on every other stupid radio show, and then they got the callers come on, and, hey, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
People with their thoughts prepared, ready to ramble them out.
It's an honor. It's a privilege.
Okay, wait. Back up. My thoughts weren't prepared.
Duh. All right, this is your last chance.
What?
Your last chance before I hang up on you.
Why would you want to hang up on Sean?
Are you talking about yourself in third person?
Correct.
Okay.
I hate that, too.
He's got enough on the ball where he knows he can say certain things that'll make us hang on.
It's pompous. Athletes do it, and it's very pompous when athletes do it.
Okay, I'm not an athlete.
Obviously.
Well, I was an athlete.
Have you been drinking today? Come on, you can be honest.
Can I?
Yep.
Well, I get in trouble.
You can be honest, and you have.
Well, I get in trouble, though.
I'll answer the questions for you. You have been drinking an awful lot, it sounds like it.
No, I haven't been drinking an awful lot.
Yes, you have.
No, I haven't.
Depends what you how you classify an awful lot.
Yes, for him, an awful lot would be binge drinking for the better part of a week.
Have you really been binge drinking?
You guys are great. No, I haven't.
Yes,
actually,
you have.
Actually, I drank 3 beers.
Okay. And they reactivated.
Real fast?
They reactivated all the alcohol that was in his system the previous evening.
Over what was the time period that you had the 3 beers before you called the show?
You guys are excellent.
All in a row, I'm guessing?
Today. I drank today.
See, a more sober person would be able to answer that question very quickly.
Well, no, I don't want to get in trouble.
One right after. What are you going to get in trouble? You're an adult, right?
Correct.
Okay.
I'm 33.
33. Do you still live with your mom?
She won't let me.
She won't let you.
Well, see, I'm just trying to find out. Do you have a family? Do you live by yourself?
I live by myself.
All right, well, then you answer to no one. You can be drunk and stupid every day.
I could.
That's right. It is your privilege. It is your privilege to be as drunk and as stupid as you want to be.
Okay. Okay, hold on.
That's going to be the title of my book. Kind of a takeoff on Dennis Rodman. As stupid as I want to be. And I'll paint those leopard spots on my hair like he has. I love it when he reacts. And he's doing it again now, you know. But he's doing stuff like, God damn, you're annoying.
Yeah.
He's doing stuff like not showing up for meetings. Listen, if you're going to be a crazy caller or a drunk caller on our show, you got to follow the same rules as everybody else that's not drinking.
Yeah, and every
and
time
it's not crazy. You just got to move it along.
And every time there's a pause, you can't go, ah, ha, 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 ha.
So Dennis Rodman, like, doesn't show up for practice, and they call him at home. He's not even doing a good job of hiding. They just call him at home, and he goes, you know,
yeah, I'm here.
So then they didn't start him in the game over the weekend, and then he missed another practice. And they said again that he was just hanging around at home.
He's losing his desire for the game, Don. He wants to be in those dresses and not on the basketball court.
He needs some attention.
Sure.
Yeah.
He needs some attention.
It's been a while since he's been top of mind for everyone.
I can identify with that. And Dennis Rodman took the advice that people gave him this year. They said, listen, this year don't dress like a girl.
Right.
Go out and show that you're a great basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
He did it for the first half of the year, and look what it got him. Absolutely zero. So now he's off the scale again.
Yes, he is.
My man, Dennis, you the man.
Do you still love him?
Yes. Yes, and I would be his wife in an instant.
I know that you've had a passion for Dennis Rodman for years now.
Since before it became fashionable.
That's right.
Back when he was that simple lad with the Detroit Pistons with the big ears. Even back then I said, I want to be Mrs. Dennis Rodman.
You know, it seems very clear to me that his career truly exploded after you professed your love for him on this program.
Yeah.
Hello, weren't we supposed to have his wife on the show?
Yeah.
Didn't she, like, listen to our show out in Sacramento where he and his kids live or something like that?
She was scheduled to be on the show, and somebody said he was too jealous to have her on the show.
Oh, yeah. Hello. Hey, Don and Mike, hi. All right, now I know we've made you wait for a second. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, hi.
When is this guy going to figure out that we're talking to him?
I
guess never.
He may have already figured it out, and this is the sick, sick game.
Is this another guy? Is this another guy that's just going to laugh, that spooky laugh? Hello?
Oh, man.
Thanks so much.
I'm really going to buy a gun. I'm very anti-violent.
Can I ask you a question, please?
Very anti-violent person. I'm a pacifist, but I am just going to have to start killing our listeners. I will seek you out, and I will kill you. I will kill you like I saw today in the movie Seven.
Oh, my God.
That is how I will kill you.
Wow, you're going to go all the way.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
I will find someone close to you, and I will cut off their head. I will have it delivered to a box in the middle of a desert while you are in leg chains.
That's a scary movie.
Sure is.
Very scary.
Sure is. Why do I keep watching it?
Some people just get scared. Other people use it as kind of a textbook.
I've seen that movie, like, maybe 10 times.
Yeah, it's woo.
But you know what? The first time I saw it, I couldn't bear to watch some of the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But today, I was having a sandwich when I was watching that movie.
You would become desensitized.
I became numb. Hello?
Yes.
Dynamite Show.
How y'all doing today?
Hi.
I'd like to ask you a question, Don.
Yes, sir.
How did you break off your relationship with the PV-119?
It's still here.
Okay,
still here serving.
Talk about it.
Still here serving me every day.
Okay.
The three-ring binder made by Avery Products. It's here with a list of our 54 stations.
Okay.
I have a mature relationship with the PV-119 now.
But thank you again for another retro call, a call going back to like 7 years ago.
Where are you calling from?
Oh, dear.
Where are you calling from?
Mobile, Alabama. Just came down from Augusta, Georgia for Mardi Gras.
Right.
My, you are a stupid cold.
Thank you very much. All right, I deserve it.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, is this Don and Mike?
Yes.
Hey, guys.
Right here at your service.
All right.
We're here to please you.
Well, please me do. A couple of years ago, you were talking about Tom Brokaw. A couple of years ago, I sat behind Sam Donaldson at the Final Four in the Meadowlands.
Oh, no.
Yes, did he cut a fart?
Oh, God. After he got three down him, he was letting them fly.
Do you mean he had three beers?
Three cold beers.
Three cold beers.
He was
beers.
Done up until that point.
And that made Sam Donaldson, the noted newsman, fart?
Very obnoxiously.
Now, you obviously were in a crowded public environment, a spectator situation at a sporting event. Was there sound involved, or was this based on smell? Because if it's smell, you can't completely indict.
There was both.
Really?
There was both. There was, you're sitting on a hard seat. Yeah. It was that sound.
What was that sound again?
Damn.
Sounds like Roger Rabbit.
Please, Annie.
Hell yeah.
Mr. President, I've had three beers. I've downed three.
I can feel the vibration also.
All right, thank you.
All right.
All right, goodbye now.
Thank you.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hello, my friendly friend.
Hello, my friend.
Did you guys see the scariest police chase show last night?
Yes, I did.
I only logged the last half because I was at basketball practice.
It was quality. It was the same quality you've come to expect from the Fox Network. They do not disappoint, and they get right to it, and that's what I enjoy. They do, on the other show, we were talking about this before, they do tend to repeat a little bit too much.
On the Crash show?
Yeah, a little bit too much repeating.
Oh, the cheesy dialogue is what I love the best.
Oh, no, that's what annoyed me during this show. When you see, more so on the Crash show than on the police chase show, when they would show, like, some really excellent crashes, where there was a car stopped in the middle of traffic, and these cars were coming up over a bend.
Right.
You remember the red car that hit the green car? Now, the red car has no way of knowing that there's a car in his path. He's on a freeway.
That's right, and there's a car parked.
He comes around the bend, boom, and he crashes into it, and then the announcer, real patronizing, this driver should have been aware that there was something in his path. How's the guy?
Yeah, always be prepared was kind of the motto. Like,
yeah, everybody on the road's going 70 miles an hour, and he's the poor guy that hit the car.
I was very skillful yesterday, though, on my way into work when I...
it's a good show, though.
I avoided an obstacle coming in tomorrow. You know what was in the middle of the road? A wheelbarrow. One of those metal industrial...
That fell off my car.
And, you know, I mean, I guess there was one guy that stopped right after I went by it, and I mean, we'd come up on this thing at 65 miles an hour, and everybody's doing that, whoa, and I look in my rearview mirror, and after you get by the obstacle, there's that little sadistic streak as I'm checking out.
Want to see somebody else hit it,
yeah,
right.
I'm looking at my rearview mirror going, okay, that was close for me, how about anybody else? And there was a guy in a van, now I don't know whether it belonged to him or not, but he pulled over to the side of the road, and it looked like he was getting ready to go out and grab the wheelbarrow to, you know, to save his fellow drivers, and I thought to myself, you know, what an idiot. That's a great way to get killed.
Yeah. I wish News Chopper 5 was there.
Oh, man, because, you know, somebody, if they left it in there, a wheelbarrow. I mean, that's somebody that's, like, in landscaping, driving along. They hear this big ka-chunk.
Keep
and
going.
It, and it falls out.
You know why?
Oh, I'm not going to get blamed.
Illegally in this country.
I agree.
They cannot be stopped by the authorities. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Leave it behind.
You know what it is? It's like the 6 degrees of separation. I'm never more than six moves away from pointing something on Mexico.
Wow.
No matter what situation I'm in, six
really?
Easy moves, I can indict Mexico.
Amazing.
Hello.
Hello.
Or Canada.
That'll be the book. That'll be Blame It on Mexico.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, this is Tina from Waldorf. How are you?
Hello, my friend.
I was just calling to see if you saw the show last night on the Fox with the crashes and everything.
That is what we are currently talking about.
Okay, you must have just started talking about it then.
Yes.
Did you see how the one man was acting really fake with the road rage?
The guy that had road rage, that was the second show, and that was one of the phoniest things I've ever seen.
Oh, it was like recreated.
Yeah, and it was like, if we put a secret camera so we could see his road rage, and the guy's obviously tweaking it up.
He's like, hey, you!
Get out of there, bleep, bleep! Come on, bleep, bleep! And then finally, this cab cuts him off and parks in the center of the road, and he said, we've given him the phone number of his psychiatrist so he can call the psychiatrist, and he's sitting there going, you! And he gets the little cell phone out, and he's dialing his cell phone, and he goes, Dr. Schwartzberg, I'm really angry.
Dr. Frazier Craig.
I'm so angry right now. I don't know what to do. And then the doctor, being a brilliant psychiatrist, they've got a camera on this guy, too. And the doctor says, how old are you? That's what the doctor said. I'm 33.
Yeah, totally set up.
Oh, yes. It was crap.
They should just go with what happens. There's, yeah. You know, when you're working with something like that,
mm-hmm.
there's no need to deviate from the format.
Yeah, real stuff. We want to see real stuff.
That's what makes the show Cops stand up after, how long has that show been on the air? 50 years or something like that?
10, 12?
Right. Much better than Real Stowaways, the Highway Patrol.
What about if they actually went to DMV and got people with the absolute worst driving records and asked if they could install a camera, not on the people themselves, but just like up in the right-hand corner, so you could actually monitor, you know, what
Mike,
was going on in front of
them. I think we got the sister show now for Donna Mike's Hot Pursuit. Donna Mike's totally wacky video. Dashboard video.
Dashboard video. There
Donna Mike's dashboard video.
That's right. We took the worst driving records. And, you know, most of the people that have those incredibly bad driving records are people that would say, cool, put the camera in.
Like the same people on Cops mm-hmm. were being busted, real bad people, and they don't have their faces bleeped out, like mm-hmm. they're proud to be on television.
Sure. And if it was a Fox, you know, you could do kind of that hanky-panky stuff where you call the person up and go, hi, Earl, we've noticed that you really haven't been driving badly. Just wanted to call. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
You know, the next day, he's in a big fender bender.
Hello. Hello, Donna Mike.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi.
Hi, this is Jennifer from Baltimore. How are you two doing today?
We're doing great, Jennifer.
Good. Two things. Number one, my husband is a United States Capitol Police officer down in Washington, D.C.
Yeah?
And he deals with all that kind of crap all the time. He's actually a motorcycle cop right now.
That's cool. That's the coolest kind of cop. If you're going to be a cop, be a motorcycle cop.
Be a motorcycle Chips. Cop. That's right. Be on a crotch run.
Eric Estrada. Bueno.
Hey, listen, guys.
Yeah.
In June, I will be married a year, and I'm taking my husband on a surprise trip down to Memphis, Tennessee. He is the absolute biggest Elvis fan. And I just wanted to tell you, we're staying at the Radisson Hotel down there.
Listen, Memphis is a beautiful city, and the hotels are beautiful. You will be supremely disappointed when you get to Graceland.
No, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
My mother-in-law tells me that he used to run down the staircase when he was a little boy with his mother's wig on and her diamonds and all her jewelry.
Oh, really?
And do the whole Vegas thing.
And he's blaming that on Elvis, huh?
He's quite the man on Elvis, but he's, you know, it's so weird because he's such a conservative guy being a cop, being a federal cop.
Wait, hold on. Let's talk about your husband when he would put on mommy's clothes.
Yeah, are you sure this is an Elvis thing, or perhaps...
No, he's straight.
Well, straight has nothing to do with it. You can be totally straight and enjoy wearing women's clothing.
Like Dolores Spiewak.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll tell you, I've known him for going on 5 years now, and he's never asked to wear any of my lingerie.
Did you see on the shows last night that high school gym teacher, that was actually, he was a football coach.
Oh, yeah.
And he ran from the law because he was cross-dressing, and he was in like a blue suit.
He was hot.
Oh, God.
Man, he was hot. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, listen, you'll be disappointed because it's how do I put it? It's worse than trailer trash. When you go down to Elvis and you look at all the crap around Graceland,
yeah.
And when you go into Graceland,
yeah.
All right, here you go. The password is cheese dick. That's the word you will say to your husband when you're walking around,
right?
Cheese dick.
Boy, what a cheese dick place.
Oh, gee. Well, you know what? We're going down there. We're staying down there 7 nights and 7 days.
Oh, my God. Seven nights?
What are you
going
to do after the first day?
Well, we got a rental car. I got the whole night.
Drive, then. Drive.
We'll drive to Nashville.
Keep going.
How about Gatlinburg? Someone said something about Gatlinburg.
Get out of the state of Tennessee.
Oh, come on. I just spent $1,300 on this.
Well, that's pretty good for 7 nights and 7 days.
Yeah.
Tennessee.
In Tennessee. Actually, no, she's overpaid for Tennessee.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh,
listen, there's a certain charm about the cheese dick quality of Graceland. Maybe that'll work for you.
Well, that's okay, because there'll be plenty of nocturnal activity because it'll be our one-year anniversary.
Hey, listen, if you're going to be in Memphis, though, make sure you go to the Peabody Hotel so you can see the world-famous Peabody Duck.
The duck. Don't do it. You'll be bored out of your mind. Every tourist in Memphis will tell you, you got to go to this hotel.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, you know, like suckers, we all went there.
I waited, too. I got, like, a good seat right on top of the fountain where the ducks came in. And then at about 5 minutes before they were going to come off the elevator, and the ducks do come down in the elevator, it was the mommy patrol.
But they don't press them.
I got shoved and elbowed out of the way.
Oh, God.
It's not like the birds press the buttons or anything. There's a guy in the elevator with them.
The duck keeper.
And then he opens the door, and about 50 ducks come walking out, and everybody applauds like they've never seen a duck before.
That's right.
And then they go, oh, that's what, you know, that is so great. I feel like going and being charged four times the price for a regular mixed drink. Let's have a drink here in the hotel lobby and watch the Ducks. Sucks.
And then there was another scheme in Memphis where Rob and I think, Buzz, were you included in the trip to B.B. King's?
Oh, yes.
And B.B. King's restaurant and his little music restaurant. And we're standing in there, and the line of the night, everybody, bartenders, waitresses, all singing, B.B.'s going to be here tonight.
Yeah.
B.B.'s going to be here. And so we waited and waited.
You got a better chance of seeing B.B. Newark.
And that's the line, though, that keeps you there. Yeah. B.B.'s coming in. I said, hey, when is B.B. going to be here? Oh, I'm sorry, sir. It's closing time.
Well, there you go, Jennifer. Have a great trip to Memphis.
That was our Memphis travel log.
Thank you so much, Don and Mike.
And one last thing. What in Memphis? Make it Danny's.
Oh, yes, Danny's. As soon as you get off that plane.
Hey, guy.
Yeah.
You didn't ask me your most famous question.
Oh, all right. Who do you look like?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I just dyed my hair for my husband, Jet Black.
Uh-huh.
And I've been told that I look like Courtney Cox and the young Elizabeth Taylor.
Really?
Well.
Yeah, I'm a hot chick.
A hot chick.
Hot chick. Hot chick going to Memphis, Tennessee in June.
Well, you know what would be even better? Your husband probably like it a lot better if you played strip trivia the next time we play.
Oh, there you go. But you know what? It's very, very hard for him to get off since he's a cop. Now, I mean, get off is work, not get off. He can get off.
You're telling us all kinds of stuff about your husband. He enjoys dressing in his mom's clothes. He has some kind of sexual problem.
His mother's wig.
Right,
not
all right.
Clothes, his mother's jewelry and wig.
All right, goodbye, Jennifer.
Thanks. Bye-bye, guys.
All right, goodbye. Man, hear that voice? That's a little extra time at the shooting range.
Hello. Donna Mike Show.
Hey, Donna Mike.
I'm working another double tonight, honey. Yeah, they got me on nights and days.
That made my wife's voice sound actually kind of soothing.
Yeah.
I go home just to have my wife talk to me now.
Absolutely. Imagine that. You know, I'm going to work another 48 hours straight, honey.
And then I'm taking you to Memphis. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, I have one of these English to Spanish translators here.
Yes, sir.
I typed in bueno arbusto.
Mm-hmm.
It comes up good shrub.
Good shrub.
That's very close.
And I typed in nice bush. It comes up agradable matorral.
Oh, that doesn't roll off the tongue like bueno.
I know, but, you know, please don't invoke the fairy godmother on me here.
No, but listen, let us stay with bueno arbusto, even if it means nice shrub.
It rolls off the tongue beautifully.
Yeah, and everybody understands what it means.
Okay.
All right.
I'll go with it.
All right, thank you, Bonnie.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
That's somebody looking out for us.
Yes,
hello.
Don and Mike.
Don and Mike Show. Like Santa Claus's elves.
That's right.
Hello.
Everybody's working. Hello. Everybody's helping.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yes, sir. Yes, we are.
Don, would you ever consider giving Dennis Rodman a moniker?
If I was his wife?
Oh.
This is the difference. I will go all the way with the joke.
Yes.
No. No, of course not. Of course now, if he wanted to, you know, to me.
Oh. Really?
I said that just to get a reaction from Mike. No. No, I wouldn't have sex with Dennis Rodman. But I would be a good wife in every other way to him.
How can you be a good wife? How can you possibly be a good wife if you're not letting him have his way with you?
There's a lot of wives that don't give their husbands that pleasure.
You yourself have said it's very important to a relationship.
It'd be different if I was the wife and Dennis Rodman was the husband. We would just be platonic.
Honey, I'm home.
We would be best friends.
Best friends doing everything together.
Except that.
Would you wear clothes for him?
Oh, yes.
Really special outfit?
Sure. Sure, what the hell?
Dennis is home.
He's a rich man.
Would you cook for him?
Oh, would I cook for him? All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
This is Dennis Rodman.
Hello.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, big man.
What's up and doing?
Hey, my friend.
All right, buddy. Hey, what's going on, fellas? Just want to see how y'all doing.
Oh, we're doing fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a girl just called about her husband, a security guard down at the Capitol.
Yeah.
Oh, them guys are a joke.
But he said he was a Capitol police officer, not a security guard.
Hey, he's a security guard guarding the grounds of the Capitol.
Well, no, I thought you said he was a park policeman. I don't want to split hairs with you, big man.
No, it's Capitol. He's a Capitol policeman.
Yeah, well, he's a legitimate cop.
Well, I guess you'd call it that. But then my brother's been down there for 20 years in D.C., so they call him kind of glorified security guards.
So you're talking about your brother being like a real inner-city D.C. cop?
Yep. Anacostia, 1st District.
Hey, peach assignment.
Hey, not too much work-related stress there.
Hey, I want to ask y'all, was that place y'all went to for that little party y'all had up at Johnny's place?
And let me tell you something. If you're going to have a guy that's going to be working in the middle of Anacostia, you want him to sound just like this.
Oh, yeah.
Did y'all go up to Johnny's place? Is that where y'all had your own party at?
What was that, big man?
That restaurant bar up on 29, Johnny's place above y'all.
I don't think we were ever at a place
like that. Biker's place, like...
Oh, you mean where we had our party?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we were there.
Oh, Jesus. Boy, yeah. You're lucky guys are alive.
Yeah, we had a great time. Well, Johnny's a personal friend of ours.
Oh, all right, Willie, I just want to holler at y'all. Hey,
great one.
Nice bush.
Great one. I am here to bite your anal polyps.
Ed, I've got a surprise. There's an extra polyp that I've developed overnight, so chew away, Buffalo Breath.
Great one. Crunchy.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Ed. Now it's off to Johnny's to hang out with my favorite bikers.
A toothpick. Great one. Can I have a toothpick?
I've got them in a silver case, Ed. Here, pick away.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yes.
It's Jennifer again. The woman that's got the cop for a husband down in Washington.
Right, the cop who likes dressing in his mom's wigs.
Yeah.
That's a sexual problem.
The farm boy that just made the comment that U.S. Capitol is not real police.
Right, we know they're real police. Listen, you can't call the show every time that your name is mentioned.
Oh,
and we talk about you constantly.
Time with this,
oh,
guys.
My God, listen to this voice. You ought to take like voice lessons or something for your husband.
You know what? I actually do.
You do? To tone it down a little bit?
No, I'm a singer, believe it or not.
Really?
What do you sing? What do you sing?
Well, I sing a lot of church music, and I do a lot of weddings. That's actually how I met my husband.
Amazing Grace!
Now, sing something for us. Go ahead.
What do you want me to sing?
Amazing Grace.
Are you ready?
Sing a good church song.
Okay, here we go. Amazing Grace.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
From Aldo y Miguel.
Hello, my friend.
Hola.
Bueno Arbusto.
Hey, listen,
let me know when she calls back. You hung up on me.
Yeah, she was there.
And my husband, and we're going to Memphis. Ah!
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, based upon what you told me before about the attacks, I'd say that was probably it, though.
Was it stress?
Just stress? Stress is a very powerful force. I doubt if there's anything physically wrong with you.
That's it?
That's it.
That's it?
I think so.
You.
No.
No, you're very good, you.
No.
You are very good,
there's
you.
There's a lot more to it than that.
You're very good, you.
There are underlying things.
You understand me? No, you're right. You're right on the money. I can feel the juices rushing back to my balls as we speak.
Well, that's something I never thought I'd hear another man say to me.
That settles it. You are my shrink.
Oh, no, I couldn't, Mr. V. You're not ready for this. You're not ready to open up. You're not a good candidate.
Listen to you. What? The f***ing honesty. That's it. You understand? Nobody talks to me like that. You understand?
Yes, I do.
That's it. Let's do it. I'm ready.
You don't have the word no very often, do you?
I hear it all the time, only it's more like, no, please, no, no.
The Don and Mike Show. Corny bastards who can't do interpretations. The Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hello.
I just wanted to let you know I'm a flight attendant for an airline.
Stu.
And below 10,000 feet, there are no portable electronic items that are to be turned on whatsoever.
All right.
No matter what major airline you're on.
You're sure about that?
I'm positive. Now, if you...
Then how does Dan... Hold on.
If you decided to do that, I would be very surprised.
How does Dan Rather manage the broadcast from airplanes?
That's what? When he's landing? Or is it above 10,000?
No, when he's landing.
That's what I'd like to know. I would definitely like to know that. Because,
all right, all you smarty pants. Listen, like I said, it might not happen, but I'm telling you, we have a better than 50% chance of doing it.
Wow. What airline are you flying on?
I'm flying Montgomery County Airlines.
Yes.
We're going to be flying out of Montgomery County Airport.
Why do you care?
Why do I care?
Yeah.
I'm just curious because I'm a flight attendant, and we're told on board that one of our announcements, any portable electronic...
I understand, but what if you got a special, special pass from the people at the airline. You never heard of that before?
Again, I don't know how you'd receive that, and I'd like to know how you do receive it.
Don has a tremendous amount of clout.
This reminds me of the guy that called us last week and said because he had never experienced it, he didn't believe in cow tipping.
I'm not saying I don't believe it.
You know something
I would like to know.
Are you the kind of
permission?
Are you the kind of flight attendant that really lays into people if you're like
no,
1 inch?
Absolutely.
If you're
not
1 inch,
not unless it has to do with your safety.
Are you a senior flight attendant?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Yes, I am.
There's Ballbricker.
No, I'm very good. No,
you'd be one of the students. I'd be disappointed to see you up in my section. I'd go, oh.
No, I've got.
Look, I got the prison matron up here. Can I have a glass of orange juice, please? Sit down and shut up. The plane is not at the gate yet. Sit down, a-hole.
I've got a very good reputation. I've got many complimentary letters.
I'm sure. Liz, answer me this. Did a man ever defecate on you? On your train.
What a horrible thing to say.
Respectful that statement alone.
Pardon me? Oh, come on.
He is a flight attendant. That's ridiculous. I know it hasn't passed.
Hey, hold up. I'm speaking about a true story that happened in the news.
I know you are. I know you are. And I think it's absurd.
What's the most...
It has happened, but it's...
Hey, Nurse Ballbricker, what is the worst thing that's ever happened as far as a patron, a customer getting out of hand on your airline?
The worst thing I experienced
was
foul language said to me.
Really?
Why?
Uh-huh.
What did you do?
Because I was trying to brief an exit row according to our FAA regulations.
That happened a couple of times a week for you.
And I had a gentleman.
Big Bride of Frankenstein here.
A white honky bitch.
Oh, dear.
Wow. White honky bitch.
And
what a horrible
thing to say.
And that man was Werner Klemperer. Do you have much fun when you're flying?
Never, Mike.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I guess that answers my question.
You don't have a lot of fun in your job. I mean, I know
I have a tremendous amount of fun.
Mm-hmm. You sound like you're a little, a little caught up with the power trip, frankly.
No way.
Well, listen, just be listening
absolutely,
Friday.
Absolutely no way.
Be listening to the show Friday.
Right now because I'm on my way back to work, so.
Well, have a safe flight and be listening to our show on Friday. I bet we get our wings.
Okay. Will do.
I bet the towels are really lukewarm when you hand them out, too.
No, they're quite warm.
They're quite warm?
Yeah.
Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
What is that?
Who is the celebrity that you think you most resemble?
Oh, I don't want to say that, then people will know who I am.
Oh, yeah. If you say the celebrity you resemble,
yeah,
then yeah, out of a million and one flight attendants.
I'm told I look a lot like her, so I won't even say it.
I bet you look like Roseanne's mother. who's the lady who plays Roseanne's mother on
Shelley Winters?
Yeah. I wouldn't be a flight attendant if I did, probably.
I know, I'm getting that wrong. Now, who's Roseanne?
Well, that's her grandmother. I had the one. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, but the mom is not fat.
Yeah, it's the lady that was in Bonnie and Clyde. That's the only movie I remember her from, and now she's an older woman. Not to say that you're
a horrible thing to say.
I can't say.
What?
I can't say too much about that because I don't know her.
You don't know who?
Roseanne's mother.
But you can say a lot about FAA rules.
Wow.
Well, that's because we're trained about FAA rules.
Do you get hit on a lot as a flight attendant?
Come on.
Yeah.
WW2, maybe.
Somewhat. That does come along with the job.
Oh, we're really? Just having a little fun here, ma'am. Don't you understand that? Hello?
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 We're trying to have a little fun. You know?
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah, listen, please return your trays to the upright position. And put your seats all the way back up.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to the first flight attendant that's been issued handcuffs.
You got that totally wrong.
I said, put that tray table up. Well, I guess you'd like to spend the rest of the flight in these,
mister.
No.
Mister.
Not that way at all.
I told those disc jockeys they can't broadcast from an airplane. It's against the FAA rules.
Let me tell you something, sir. If you continue to speak in that loud voice, you will be gagged.
Well, thank you for whatever. Thank you for being you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that gigantic bouffant hairdo of yours.
Have you ever given a customer a bottle of wine upon leaving your airplane?
Before they leave the aircraft?
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
That's like Mike's stew test.
I've got a collection.
I have a collection of bottles of wine. Mike normally makes a lot of friends on a flight.
I've gotten three over the years. Very proud of that.
Thank you.
That's good. That's good for you.
Thank you. Never from anyone like you, though.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
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 Oh, man.
Don and Mike show.
Good afternoon, Don and Mike.
Yes.
Bill here. And I work for the FAA. You need to get a waiver from your local flight standards district office that controls your airline. And waivers are not that hard to get. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to certainly meet certain requirements.
I'm a waiver.
Specifications.
Oh, yeah, I know you.
I'm a big waiver.
I got to get you a straitjacket when I travel with you. Am I going to waiver everybody?
Hi, pilots.
So, anyway, it does matter which airline you're flying on, though, because the flight standards district office that controls the airline.
We are flying on the airline that has the lowest possible standards.
Ah.
Well, no, I don't know. I don't mean
that. That was a horrible thing to say.
The airline that we're flying on is the greatest, and for everybody out there that's got a bug up their butt about it, we'll just wait and see what happens Friday.
Yeah.
No, there is a procedure to do it.
But now we've got people who are...
Good luck to you.
We're people who are doing whatever it is that you're talking about. See, those are the things that we don't have to worry about.
Right.
Great.
Now, we got somebody here. Somebody, I think, who's handling it for us.
But anyway, Frog Airline stewardess was wrong in that the FAA always makes waivers for things that are important enough, and obviously it's very important.
I don't doubt that flight attendant has been wrong many times.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Wow.
I don't believe anybody ever hit on her.
Yeah, I don't either.
Hello, Don and Mike?
Except maybe a gay lady.
Man.
Some dyke. Hello.
Hello, Don.
Hi.
Hey, Mike. Hey.
Hello. What a horrible thing to say.
What a horrible thing to say.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm a captain with U.S. Airways, and I got the answer for your question.
What's that?
Number one, they don't know. That's the reason you can't use them.
Who doesn't know?
The FAA, nobody knows.
Nobody knows what?
What effect it might have on the airplane. Now, we've had airplanes. Sure. We've had airplanes where somebody turns on a device and things and goes off. It's on autopilot and everything. It goes 40 miles off course. As soon as they turn it off, it goes back on course.
All right, so maybe we'll do that. If the plane goes 40 miles off course,
never say never.
We'll turn it off.
But that's fine, but just make sure when you're landing and wherever you're going, you don't want to be at 300 feet and find out you're...
Let me just stop you for a second, please. We wouldn't do anything that violates any rule, and furthermore, we would have the okay of the airline.
Right, I understand that, but you wanted an explanation why it does. The reason they don't allow it because they don't know. Right.
They don't know what can happen. Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Thank you, Major Tom.
This is ground control to Major Tom.
Hello.
Yes.
Don and Mike show.
How you doing?
Great.
Do you guys happen to catch Regis and Kathy C this morning?
Yes.
No.
In
New Orleans, Louisiana.
Yes. Mike, did you notice how tense she was this morning?
Well, I was really, can I be honest with you, sir?
Sure.
I wasn't really concerned about looking at either Regis or Kathy Lee. I was simply waiting for Richard Simmons.
I am a huge fan of
Richard Simmons.
Let me interrupt you for just a second, Mike. Broomhilda from the restaurant is on the telephone.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Oh, this could be...
You thought we had fun with that flight attendant.
This could be a sticky wicket.
Hey, Broomhilda, how you doing, baby?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you guys?
Just fine.
We're the stuck-up disc jockeys.
Yeah, I know. I heard somebody called me and told me you guys were on the radio insulting us in our restaurant.
Oh, no, we weren't insulting you.
Broomhilda.
We've never said the name of your restaurant.
And we never said your name. So
your name is Broomhilda.
if your name happens to be Broomhilda, then we're in trouble.
My mother's name happens to be Hilda.
Hilda.
Yes.
Yeah, so anyway,
we want to know if you guys are going to come over and pay for the bar stools that you broke that you were sitting on.
Oh, that's very funny.
Mm, you're very funny.
Well, are you?
No.
And that food is dog food?
Oh.
What do you eat at home?
What?
What do you eat at home?
Not what you were serving up at that place.
You didn't even eat here.
Boy.
Hey,
you're nasty.
So are you.
But no, you were the one that started it.
Now listen.
You interrupt somebody eating dinner. No one in this restaurant would even know who you two fatzos are.
How? Hey, listen, you bitch. You fat, stupid bitch.
Who's the one that came up to us?
You did.
Yeah, some ladies wanted to speak to you.
And what did we say? What did we say? We said we didn't want to interrupt everybody in the restaurant having dinner.
No, you were
going to interrupt anyone. No one knows who you guys are.
So when you interrupted us in the middle of our party, we said, why don't you bring those people over? And that's when you introduced us as the stuck-up disc jockeys, when all we were trying to do was accommodate.
Make a joke. You can dish it out.
We were trying to accommodate. What do you mean, you can dish it out?
We can dish it out.
I'm joking with you.
We were after hours sitting there trying to enjoy our little work party when you thrust yourself.
And listen, if you want to talk about it,
it's big.
Myself. I should have just punched you in the face.
Oh, my. Now a little threat of physical violence.
What is your problem, baby?
You must be afraid.
This breakfast was not 100% guaranteed. I eat here all the time.
Listen, your place is your place is like prison.
And what did you say on your way out the door?
You left any time.
I did.
I left as soon as possible.
Well, your party stayed here till 2 in the morning.
Well, they have no class.
But you work with them.
It doesn't mean that they have any class.
You know something? We left very soon. I was curious what you were saying after you introduced us as the stuck-up guys. You said something on your way out, and then you didn't have the guts to stay behind and repeat what you said.
It was nothing.
What did you say?
I can't remember what I said.
Can't remember now.
I think I remember what you said. Write myself a note. Must lose 300 pounds.
What, to me or you?
Now, listen, you want to get on a scale, honey?
When you said that?
You want to get on a scale?
Yeah.
Why don't you bring your fat ass down here, and we'll see who's...
I will.
Yeah, why don't you do that? Why don't you do that?
Okay.
Why don't you bring some of your dog food down here, too?
That's too good for you.
Can we bring the bikers?
Oh, now who is this?
So now who do we have here? Who's that?
This is one of the bartenders.
One of the bartenders.
Yeah.
Well, get off the phone. I didn't speak to you. I don't know who you are.
Thank you.
Is he off the phone?
No.
Hey, listen, you're awful. You're just an awful, mean-spirited old witch.
Nice. You're a nice guy.
You know, the whole thing started when we said, bring those people over.
I'm nice to anybody that's nice to me.
I was joking with you when I brought them over to you.
Well, you weren't. You sure didn't have a disposition that said that. You had a disposition of a tired, old, run-down, weather-beaten, road-dragging.
Well, if you worked here, you would be, too.
That's exactly what I've been saying all along, and you're so mad at me for saying that.
I'm not mad at you.
That's the first
true
thing.
I'm mad at you because you call me Broomhilda.
That's the first true thing you've said, though.
What?
Well, the first true thing is that you'd be tired and run down if you worked in that joint. I agree with you there.
All right.
But you know,
all done insulting me?
Well, no. I mean, the thing was, talking
about you during the commercials.
it just irritated me that you brought those people over and we said, hey, no problem. We'd like to bring them over here, but somehow you didn't dig that, did you? Tell me the truth.
You came up to us with an attitude to begin with.
And you didn't like you didn't like the fact that we didn't want to go into the restaurant and we wanted them to come into the party room where we were having the party, into the bar. You didn't like that, did you?
Well,
you didn't.
Well, because one of the ladies that wanted you to come over was the owner's wife. So I thought it would have been nice of you to at least make an effort. That was all.
Hold on. Let's just stop for a second. Okay. What we said to you was in no way disrespectful, rude, pompous, or arrogant. You said there's a couple ladies in the restaurant that would like to meet you.
Yeah.
I said to you, I feel awkward walking out in the middle of a restaurant.
I felt the same way, and then I said to you, why don't you just bring them over into the party room? We'd love to meet them. That's exactly what I said.
I'd bring them over to you.
Yeah, and then but you had a problem with it, didn't you? You didn't like it, did you?
I just thought you were too cool.
Why do you think that? Why is it too cool?
The reason why you think I'm a bitch.
No, I think you're a bitch.
Why would we have said bring them over here, and we would like to meet them? Why is that being too cool? How is that being too cool?
You understand
thinking we're too cool.
That perhaps it'd been the end of a long day. I'm a little shy in real life, and I don't want to traipse through a restaurant with Broomhilda in front of me going, hey, everybody.
I wasn't even going to do that. Why was I going to go, hey, everybody?
But why do you think we're being too cool?
Why do you think I would do that?
I'm asking you a question that you have not answered yet.
How is it being
too cool to say, hey, we don't want to go into the restaurant, but we'll have them come over here. Do you mind doing that? And you said yes. How is that being too cool?
Because I didn't see anything wrong with you coming over to the table and saying hello to these people.
Well, that's not your decision to make. It's our decision to make.
I said that would make us feel awkward.
And that's our decision to make. That's not your decision.
Make you feel awkward.
But that's not your decision to make. I mean, the fact that...
I can't believe that you're in the food service business. I can't believe this.
I've been doing this forever.
I really can't believe this.
Well, I can't believe you're on the radio. All you guys do is copy Howard Stern. Everything you do, you copy.
Like what?
So
everything.
Why don't you go ahead and...
All the noises you make, all the sayings you say, everything
like what?
You do.
Like what?
Your whole
like
show.
What?
Give us an example.
Oh, God.
No, go ahead. You made the
because I'll tell you how very much your food is like dog food. Because I had a guy in here eating dog food last week.
You didn't even eat any of the food.
I saw the consistency of the dog food.
You saw the food, therefore it was dog food.
Actually, it was several coworkers who really did seriously say to me, "The food tastes like garbage." That's what they said. That's what they said to us.
They said they loved.
Well, I think they were drinking.
I think
your booze tasted the same.
I think you're trying to imitate a good restaurant.
Which one?
You name it, baby, because you're the bottom of the barrel.
You're trying to be as good as Taco Bell, but you'll never achieve it.
Oh, yeah, we are.
No, you're not.
Well, you have to try the food before you even say that.
It sounds to me, seriously, like you have a hidden agenda, like you had an attitude going into this. And
going
that's
into
probably,
what?
You had an attitude about our show and about us before
no,
you
I
even
don't.
Approached us. And I'd like to point out, you approached us.
That you were putting down this place.
You approached us.
And you know what?
People
you know what?
Our restaurant and telling us that you guys
well, then those people,
before you even got
then
here.
Those people must be psychic, you bitch, because we never said the
you
name
said,
of your flea trap restaurant.
To the... To a nice place, you had to come to a dump.
Yes, you run a dump.
That's
your place is a toilet.
Oh, dear.
Tell me something. Do you eat with that mouth? Well, obviously you do. I've got a look at you. I got a good look at you. You are pathetic.
What are you?
You know something? We never mentioned your restaurant during the entire... We never mentioned your restaurant by name.
Never.
Ever.
Never.
And we still haven't. Something you might want to remember.
That's because we can sue your fat asses.
Sue us for what? Oh, my God.
Wow. Well.
Hey, that's right. That's out of the shoe. Where'd that come from?
What a horrible thing to say.
I bet my wife is glad she didn't come now. What an awful woman that lady is.
Nasty, nasty. Hidden agenda. Hidden agenda.
I was going to give her a free anal waxing, too. Well, her loss.
And as anyone knows, that's a 3-day process. For her, you need the extra heavy-duty wax.
All right, honey.
Nice lady.
You stay there. I'll go there when management changes. When the current format flops.
Absolutely. It's under new management, right? That's supposedly,
yeah.
And we can tell that the manager's just
that's
doing
the
a
new
super
management.
Job of
now,
it.
Jesus, kiss my ass.
What a horrible thing to say.
Oh,
what a horrible thing to say.
Right. I'm starved. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Richard, what were you doing?
Going over some documents.
Where are they? Jeez, I don't see them.
They're in my briefcase. I thought you were getting pizza.
They were closed. How could you be reading documents when they're in your briefcase? That's a mystery.
Richard, were you watching Spank Provision? Okay, then, let's hit it.
Maybe you were watching a movie with that funny comedian. Oh, what's his name? Buddy Wackett?
All right, then, let's get some showtime.
Hey, that's a pretty girl down there.
Good for her.
Geez, I wonder if she goes out with one of the Yankees.
Couldn't tell you.
Richard, who's your favorite little rascal? Alfalfa? Or is it Spanky? Sinner.
The Don and Mike Show. God smiles on them, then God laughs at them. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Wayans brothers.
It's Sean and Marla.
Yes, sir.
Hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
How you doing? How's it going?
It's fine. Why is it so cold in here, man? It's a meat locker in here.
Look at us. We need it. Yeah, we don't feel that.
It's all hard. It's cold, guys.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Hi. Hey, man. How's it going? How
sorry, we have it's a low-budget operation. We only have one microphone. You guys have to share. That'd be already you have displayed.
One microphone, no heat. What's up? I shared a bed with him for 16 years. I can do it sharing a mic.
Now, what is it with the Wayans brothers? What is it with the genes with you guys? That you have Damon and you have Keenan Ivory Wayans.
You're talking about the jeans.
Yeah.
I'm talking about jeans.
No, I'm not
wearing Keenan jeans today.
What is it that makes you guys all so funny? And now, I've seen you guys. You were also on The Living Color, weren't you guys?
Yes, we were.
Right, I thought so.
You want to move that up to the upper level here? You see, Rob, I knew it would be better up there. I knew we have this weird little setup here.
Wow. All right. Well, it's the fact... Would you stop beating on me?
This is like the cheesiest studio. We can't do any interviews in this studio.
Right. They are jockeying for position.
Now, wait. One of them's like sitting on the other one's lap now.
Now we're right here. Boom.
Well,
now I got two mics in my face. Thank you. Oh, well, speaking to the one that's the biggest.
These guys are such brothers.
That one's working.
Hey, I loved you in that basketball movie. My kid loved that movie, too, with the invisible. Yeah.
If you kick me against one,
how did you do? I have a bunch of pointed questions to ask the very famous Wayans brothers.
What's up? Hey, come on. Okay. Before you do that, I wanted, how many Wayans brothers and sisters are there? Currently 52, 53 total?
No, there's, actually there's, I don't know. There's 10.
Stupid.
10. 5 boys, 5 girls. We're like the Black Brady Bunch.
I have a theory about a lot of shows that are on television. Yeah. A lot of black shows that are on television.
Hey, he's taking
what
my darts.
I know.
They're all Wayans family?
They're not sure. You got to really do it.
A lot of the shows seem to be written by white guys who are trying to... all right, let's see where you go with... Oh,
hey.
Wow.
I think you got that in Wisconsin.
Oh, right. Let me see.
All right, hold on. The Wayans brothers are going to throw darts at the map. Oh, in the ocean.
Ow!
I put one there the other day. You're
my eye!
Off the coast of Bermuda there.
In the ocean.
Okay, finish what you're saying.
Okay, now, a lot of shows, and I'm not picking out your show, but a lot of shows that have black casts seem to be written by white guys who all sit around in a room and go, hey, homeboy, we'll have this guy come in the room and he'll say, hey, what's up? Crazy time!
You know what? You're right.
Crazy time!
Bill, tell me on your show.
On our show?
What is the...
I've never heard us say crazy time.
What is the ethnic balance of the writing and producing staff
on
your show?
You know, we got white guys who know they're white. And they stay white and they don't try to be black
and they allow us to bring the flavor to it.
Right,
cool.
It's not even black. I think it's contemporary.
Because there's nothing worse than a tragically white guy who's trying to be black. I mean that's very sad. You know, we see that constantly and you would agree that we are the two most tragically white guys you have ever seen in your life.
Which one of us do you think it has more lighter soul though?
Now I want to tell you, I don't always dress like this. I had to go borrow money today. That's the only reason.
Which
I'm
one of us
like
at first
look
place?
Like a lot. You are the
whitest.
He's like the whitest white guy. He's like a white guy that you step behind him at the ATM machine and he lets you go first.
And you look like you own a trailer.
That
is cold.
You look like the guy who took his wife and break down.
That is cold, man.
Oh, man.
I don't know which I'd rather look like, a redneck guy or a wasp guy.
I don't know. I think we've both been summarily insulted here.
All right, tell me.
You guys asked.
All right, we asked what I look at.
Here, go ahead. Go in front of me.
And also you have black writers, and they bring flavor to
yes.
it, too.
Yes.
Who is this guy?
That's
who is this
guy? Writer on our show.
All right.
Ah. Now, really, how come you guys travel with 1,000 guys?
Well, they're writing right now.
We're writing a movie right now.
Sean's writing a movie. So.
Are you really writing a movie?
Yeah.
What kind of movie?
It's a romantic comedy.
Yeah?
So he's writing a movie with two friends. And I just.
So you had to bring them to our show today? Well, bring them in. Come on in. Everybody come on in.
Snowden. Hold on a second.
You don't want him in here?
Come on.
What's the working title of the film?
It's untitled. It's a romantic comedy.
It's
romantic comedy is the name of the film.
Romantic comedy.
It's untitled.
All right, here they come now.
Untitled.
All right, now who is who here?
This is Buddy Johnson right here.
Hey, Buddy.
Hi, Buddy.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Hey.
Listen to that voice.
Hey, that's Michael Anthony Snowden.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Michael. How you doing?
Michael's a little shy.
Now, what is Michael's job?
Michael's a writer.
Are both these guys writers?
Yeah.
No.
Yes, they are.
Really?
Michael.
Okay. Write me a story right now. Someone get him a piece of paper. Write me a story.
Give me a rope.
Michael's the angry writer.
Are you angry? Are you angry, Michael? You look angry. Are you angry?
Rob,
angry
writer.
I was kidding about that.
He was joking, Rob. What about this guy right here? That's our producer, Rob Spiewak. You analyzed us. Now, please.
How white is he?
That's our producer. That's our producer. Rob, come on in, Rob. Don't be afraid.
He has a black girlfriend.
Yeah.
He don't bring her around the guys. He has a little white girl he bring around. Yeah, man. He goes home to a black woman and gives her a check.
All right. Look at how uncomfortable he is right now.
You
standing
are uncomfortable.
In the, look at him standing in the room. Rob, is this the most black guys you've ever been around in your life?
Must be. I see him keep patting his back pocket.
Yeah.
I already gave him my wallet.
All right, get out, Rob. Get out of here.
He's a little nervous.
He is nervous. Look at the red cheeks.
And this guy got the Phil Collins cut.
Oh, this
yeah.
guy right
he got
here?
That dancing to the light cut.
That would be our studio technician, Charles Broyhill, being analyzed by the Wayans brothers right now.
A gay activist. You guys have aced everything today. Now, what are you here pushing? Your show on the WB?
Yeah, our show on the WB, and we have a book. I have a book coming out called 150 Ways to Tell If You're Ghetto.
I want some of y'all white women.
And
Michael,
and
now he's what? That was his comment.
All right. The man, it wasn't me. It was Anthony Michael Snowden. That's right. Who you want to set up.
He expressed an interest in white women, and now he is running out of the building.
Someone introduced him to Kate.
Yeah. Kate's single.
Pretty fine.
You know, the one thing I read about you, you guys are both single.
Yes,
single
are.
In Los Angeles.
Yes, we are.
Having a good time.
Are you at all? Are you at all jealous of your other brothers?
What? Like,
what?
We're making more money than
and we have.
You're making more money than Damon?
No, not at all.
Now Damon's like a big movie star, right?
Damon's all right. Hey, you know what?
What did you think of that?
Oh, good.
What did you think of the movie with Adam Sandler that he did?
I thought it could have been better, but it wasn't their fault. I think the director messed it up.
How did the director mess it up?
I love to work with you know how well, when you mess it up, it don't mean that he's not a good director. He just didn't capture that film right. Mm-hmm. I think the timing of the two guys were
don't try and kiss up
off.
Now. It's too late. You ruined your
time. Hey, I write my own movies. I don't have to kiss anybody's behind.
Ernest, I love your work.
Okay.
This isn't okay. Yeah. I'm getting the impression
think
this isn't
more,
fake. This is the real relationship.
The thing.
Really? You know, what about the director?
Like I said, I think it was a director.
It was
thing.
A director.
I think he
thing.
Didn't capture the best of the two guys that was in the movie. I think that could have been funnier.
And what happened with Keenan in Living Color? Why did that show come to such an abrupt and nasty end on Fox?
Because Fox was putting the show on more than once a week. They were airing it on Thursdays.
You know, that's true. Whenever they would cancel a show,
they
would always fill the slot. They'd say, you know, now Thursday at 8:30, it's an extra edition of In Living Color.
Exactly. And what happened was that hurt the value in syndication, and then the show wouldn't be worth nothing.
Explain that.
The reason why you do TV is to get to syndication. You want to get a certain amount of shows, then you sell the show as a package in syndication, and you make a ton of money.
And by putting it on too often,
by putting it on
that
too
screws
much,
it up with the syndication.
It up.
How much do you guys make now for your show on WB?
I can't disclose that.
Oh,
now.
Sure you can. You're among friends here.
Well, listen,
put it this way, we make minimum wage.
All right, let me just tell you this, that the guys from Seinfeld have re-signed now for, what is it, $600,000 an episode.
And you guys, because it's the Wayans brothers, you're making just a little bit
and
more than that.
Way,
right?
We don't make the tax on that money. The government would make more.
Yeah.
Of their money, then we get an episode.
What kind of cars do you guys drive? These are our standard celebrity questions.
I just have a regular, you know,
a Porsche.
A very normal 4.6 Range Rover.
Range Rover, nice.
Very, you know,
yeah, we have Range Rovers. But
you said you had a Porsche. You have a Porsche
no,
and
joking.
A Range Rover?
I'm joking, though. We lease them.
You lease what?
I'm leasing a Range Rover.
A Range Rover?
We don't have no money. What are you guys talking
How much money do you have in your pockets right now, Wayans Brothers? How much cash in your pocket?
$1,000 on me.
You have $1,000 cash?
Yeah.
Count it out.
Can I see it?
Count it out.
All right. They're reaching into their pockets right now.
Yeah, I don't feel safe about me. Too many white guys.
Hey, look at that.
100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800, 900.
You don't have
$900.
He doesn't have it.
$1,000. Yeah.
Can you loan me some?
Look at this.
Can you loan me
more
some?
More 20s coming out.
40, 60, 20, 80,
lots of cash.
You guys don't need all that money.
This right here is my life savings. This is my life savings in my pocket right now.
What major credit cards are you guys carrying?
I have no
Macy's card. And my Vegas.
Can I see your driver's license, please?
I don't have credit.
All right, let me. All
can
right.
we see your pictures on your driver's license?
He didn't let go of it.
No.
Can I see your picture?
All right. I'm not going to give your address out on the air. I wouldn't do
that. We just want to see your goofy driver's license pictures.
Driver's license is cute.
You had a different hairstyle when you had this. How old were you? How long ago was this driver's license picture taken?
2 years ago.
2 years
Pass
ago.
It over. Let me see mine.
All right, he won't keep it.
Pass it
up. Wow, you live in a nice city.
Thank you.
I'm only kidding about about your address.
You guys are just telling everything about us, huh?
Oh, I didn't even look at
it. Oh, I should mention the Wayans brothers, a Wednesday night, 9:30 Eastern time.
On the WB.
On the WB. Now, are you at all, how do you feel about being on the Teeniest Network? You know, because that's even smaller
Actually,
than Fox.
Not. UPN is the Teeniest. We're the
second to Teeniest. You know what? I don't care.
Actually, we've seen the network grow a lot in the last couple of years. It started out, we get like 2 shares, and now we're up to 5 shares in the national. So progressively, it's getting better.
But you know what? I don't mind being the on Tiny Network because you get a chance to get good. You know, it's like on the big networks, you get on the air, and if your show's not great the first episode, which is really hard to do,
yes,
you're canceled. And we got a chance to grow on a small network, and now our show's getting better and better and better. You know, it's all good.
Do you like going on the road and promoting the show? I mean, a lot of people do it because it's a contractual obligation.
Big pain in the ass to come talk to guys like us, isn't it?
It's not a contractual obligation.
In some shows it is. You have to go out and promote the show. You don't have to do that.
No, you don't. Actually, this is our choice. We choose to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, not too many other shows on the network do it. Has any other... shows from the network been in here?
Well, we don't get any guests.
We don't get
any. You remember the Riddler from the Batman TV show?
Wow.
That's like the biggest guest we've had recently.
Is he still alive, or did you have to go to him?
He might as well have been dead.
We had Red Buttons on the show.
Hey, guys, how many other white shows have you been on today?
This is the first white show.
Although we only identify it as a white show because we are white guys.
Exactly.
Actually, you know what? This is a show, man. Comedy is something that's universal.
You know what? That's right.
Be it black, white, Chinese, or, you know, whatever you might be, man. Comedy is universal.
That's exactly. It's true.
Yeah. And toss him a salad. We're straight.
That's what we do to get ready for the show.
With jam or jelly?
It's a group.
We like syrup.
We like syrup. Maybe
we like syrup.
That's right.
On any one of these mics.
Okay, I have a book coming out.
All right, here's another plug.
How to toss a salad.
How to
Can
toss
I see
a
your
salad.
Book?
150 ways to toss a salad.
All right.
It's called 150 Ways to Tell If You're Ghetto. It was inspired by, you guys heard of Jeff Foxworthy. He has a book called...
Oh, brilliant comedian Jeff Foxworthy.
I think he's funny.
So you did this version of, you know, it's kind of, you
we
know...
We kind of did our point of view of, like, you know, we did the ghetto, 150 Ways to Tell If You're Ghetto. He did redneck.
Mm-hmm. Come on, I understand the tie-in, and I hope it works for you, but let's not fool each other about Jeff Foxworthy.
I thought he was funny. I think he's
funny.
I think he's funny.
Oh, come on.
I stand by it. I think he's funny.
Oh, man.
I think he's funny. What's wrong with Jeff Foxworthy? Now, you're probably judging him by his show. You're not judging him by his stand-up.
Well, in general, we're kind of jealous of anyone that's on TV because we have tried TV and we have...
Yes, we are very angry.
We're very angry. We're bitter. We've been doing this. We've been in this studio for 12 years doing this, and we, you know, we've tried TV.
How'd you like to come here every day and have this be your goddamn life? Wouldn't you be upset?
Well, this is what you choose to do.
We're extraordinarily bitter. We want the three-picture deal.
You know how you
want
to do TV?
Listen, Wayans Brothers, I have someone who wants to meet you. All right, did you see our receptionist out front?
Yes, we did.
Oh, my God, was she excited.
Terry?
I'm not done promoting my book. Hey, Terry.
Come back here, Terry. Come back here.
Oh. Terry, come on. You know you wanted to meet the Wayans Brothers.
Come on
back.
Come back here and meet them on our show, Terry.
Please.
Come on back.
Okay.
I mean, we had to get a mop-up by her desk today.
Don't bring anybody gloves with you.
She was so excited. Now, what else did you want to plug before she comes in for her
150 ways to tell if you're ghetto.
Okay.
And one of them would be, you might be ghetto if you take your batteries out of your smoke detector to put inside of your pager. Your baby, you might be ghetto if your baby daddy's name is tattooed on your,
yes.
Your thing.
Your thing.
Breath.
Oh, your breath. Breath.
Oh, okay. We were thinking on your
all right.
No.
On your, you know, your thing.
No, you might be ghetto if you take, and what else?
If you think Kool-Aid has vitamin C in it.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know how to tell you this. White or black, those jokes suck. Now, here is Terry.
Well, guys will be on TV soon.
No, I'll take that. You're right. I'm not on
Let's
TV.
Let's not go there now,
buddy. I'll never, ever be on TV.
I've never written a book. I've never been on television.
Okay, we get paid the bucks for a reason now.
You didn't make any money.
Well, you know, minimum wage.
Well, listen, guys, this is Terry.
Terry.
We have, as I said,
What is your sister's name, Terry? Niecy. Hi, Niecy. I'm sorry I couldn't
Niecy
talk to you
a big
earlier
fan
on
too?
The phone because I was dead tired. And
Terry, that's not too embarrassing. You made the Wayans Brothers get on the phone with your niece?
No, she didn't make us. She asked us, and we were sleepy, and we said, nah.
That is embarrassing. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it.
I'm going to say hi to you.
But I said hi over the radio. Hey,
sister. Terry, sister.
What's up, Terry? All right, girl.
Well, good for you guys. I feel better then. I'm embarrassed that you asked them that, but I feel good that you let her down.
You know what? We walked by the phone, and I grabbed it. And then she said, hey, someone's on there that wants to say something to you. I said, hold on.
So you don't think that we'd have a
future?
Is that a
good lie?
You don't think we'd have a future in TV?
Terry, what is it that you love about the Wayans Brothers?
Oh, my gosh.
No chance.
Not even on the WB?
You're talking about that, Terry, about that.
You know
I'm still on
Every
the TV
since
thing.
Every you shot my book down, you get no love from me.
What is it that you love about the Wayans Brothers so much?
Everything.
Did they kiss you? If you could kiss one of them, which one would you kiss? Terry? I know you're married.
A married woman.
Listen.
But see, we have celebrities in here all the time.
Don't let that stop you. I bet you want to kiss Marlon. Am I wrong?
Which one is Marlon?
Which one is Marlon? That's cold.
Sean's the cute one, man.
That is cold.
I'm the lanky, funny one.
You don't think you're cute?
Are we boring you?
Are we boring you? Didn't he help you write the book?
You know, 150 ways in those get on the
lot. Well, if they don't think Jeff Foxworthy's funny, of course they don't think we're funny.
All right, Wayans Brothers, I've had enough of
We've
you.
We've been defeated.
And there's no chance that we can get an idea of what maybe that
Not
romantic comedy will
hell.
Be titled? No?
What movie I'm doing.
What movie are you doing?
I'm going to start production on a movie called Senseless, about a guy who does this experiment, and it gives him super senses. He can see better, taste better, and all this. And then what happens is he gets greedy. He likes it so much, he gives himself a double dosage, overloads his system. Now the whole thing backfires, and he can only have 4 out of 5 senses at a time. And he'll lose the sense that he needs most.
I think the book's a better idea than that.
No, but listen. He'll go blind while
you guys are going straight to the top here at the radio station.
Yeah, it's a very funny movie.
Bang, zoom.
Bang, zoom.
There might be a cameo in it for you.
Hold on. No prompting from your friend
there.
No,
for real. Listen.
Cameo.
There might be a cameo in it for you.
Don't talk to me like
for
that.
Real, man. For real, man. For real. We'll get you in there.
It's called Senseless.
Yeah. Come on. I'd love to cut your stuff right out the damn movie.
My child has my damn feet.
You know who he looks like? The guy from Mel Carter, Give Me a Break. The father.
Oh, all right, get out now.
Yeah, that's the last insult. Goodbye, Wayans Brothers.
Oh. All right,
come
it's
on.
On.
We got Rush Limbaugh over here.
It's all right.
Rush Limbaugh and Dolph Sweet.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, man.
The Wayans Brothers.
All right.
Hey, thank you, guys. Wayans Brothers.
Good luck on the show. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
WB.
All right.
9:30.
Hey. 9:30. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys.
They're that was okay. fun. I enjoyed that.
How about that?
That was a lot of fun.
How about that?
And that was great. There they go. Sean and Marlon Wayans.
The Wayans brothers.
They look, these guys, seriously, they might be tired, but they look like they seriously enjoy what they're doing, and I think they really get along with each other.
I'm glad they came in to be on the whitest show in America, the Wayans brothers.
So we could hurl insults around the room.
So listen, guys, on your way out.
So, toss my salad.
And that's it. With straight. With syrup or with jelly.
That's right. They didn't mention syrup. We like it with syrup before every show. Syrup.
This is the Don and Mike Show. What you see is what you get with Females for Hire. And it's a lot more than you have ever seen. Yes, Females for Hire makes the happy hooker look like Mother Goose. It's all here, all of it, with everything left in and nothing left out. The story of the jungle they call the street and the girls who have become the most dangerous game on earth. Here is the marketplace, the buyers and the sellers, the conners and the conned, the dream and the nightmare. Females for Hire. They guarantee you a good time. The contract doesn't say you'll come out alive. You're playing with fire. With Females for Hire. From Independent International, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's not the heat. It's the stupidity. The Don and Mike Show.
Now, give me your choice here. Something about Streisand, Streisand and Brolin.
Streisand!
Or something about Elvis.
Right.
Always good talking about Elvis.
If only I could have seen what was happening to me, I might have done something about it.
Or I could read you one of these letters from Cigar Aficionado.
Oh, what a nice choice that is. I want to hear about Elvis, because I know you were talking about this when I came in today.
Okay. It's in the paper today. A big half-page ad that they are selling a shotgun, a rifle, not a shotgun, a rifle that has Elvis's name and Elvis's picture on it.
Oh, man, handguns and Elvis. You were waiting for this marriage to happen. It finally occurred.
With only 1,000 rifles available in this first ever firearm honoring Elvis.
Yee-haw!
It's about time. Its anticipated demand will be high. With his tremendous talent, good looks, and sensual style, Elvis changed music. This museum-quality Elvis tribute is the first firearm ever authorized by Elvis Presley Estate. A rifle that we believe Elvis would have admired. Known as the rifle that won the West, the Winchester Model 94 was Elvis's choice.
There you go.
Well, like what, when he's sitting in his backyard and trying to shoot out the
light bulbs, those little flash bulbs.
Yeah, flash bulbs.
Oh, those were BB guns, Don.
Right.
Order now and receive one case of jelly.
So here's, here in the ad, they've got in brass on the top by the Barrel Band, it says Elvis Presley.
Mm-hmm.
And then here you got a picture of, like, the comeback Elvis, the Hawaii show.
There it is.
And then there's a little thing of Graceland.
That's right, like on the metal part of the gun.
And then right down here where you put your hand when you cock the gun.
Sure.
There's young Elvis's face. And to really entice you to order this, here's a real picture of Elvis holding a gun.
Elvis, well, we know for a fact how much Elvis loved firearms.
How come I didn't know that someday they would name a gun after me?
If only I could have seen what was happening to me.
If only I could have seen
something about it. My marriage was falling apart. Priscilla and I were hardly ever together. And even when we were.
Thank God I have my guns.
If only they had named a gun after me then.
My boy, my boy.
All right, let's call and see what the deal is. It's one of those things where you have to pay many, many payments.
Mm-hmm.
I wish to reserve however many guns you want at the advance issue price of $1,850.
Oh!
Ooh,
wow.
You can go to any major metropolitan city and buy a gun for 1/50th of the price on any corner in most cities that we broadcast from.
Yeah, but you won't get all that Elvis engraving on there with the King of Rock and Roll.
It only cost you a Benjamin. All right, $1,850.
How did I know that they were going to sell it for that exorbitant price?
If only I could have seen what was happening to me, I might have done something about it.
Yeah.
Deposit of $225 per rifle is enclosed. I wish to pay the balance of 13 payments of $125 a month.
Wow. Man, that's a hell year.
This is something that reeks of something my brother would get.
Oh, yes.
And this would be a choice that my brother would have. Car payment, about $150 a month.
Uh-huh.
Elvis gun payment, $125 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You'd make the Elvis gun payment and then go out and buy a bunch of bad food with the extra $25.
Dear manufacturer, I have worshipped the King of Rock and Roll, Elvis Aaron Presley, for many years. And now you have combined the king with one of my other loves, the love of firearms.
Thank you. I don't know how much guns cost, but isn't that expensive as guns go?
America Remembers, may help you.
Yes, hello. This is Don and Mike, and we're doing a national radio show right now. We were wondering if you had any information about the Elvis Presley rifle.
Okay, what kind of information do you need?
Well, what kind of bullets does it use?
Okay, it's a 30-30 Winchester, and let me get you that information.
Very good. A 30-30 Winchester, what does that mean?
I guess that means it shoots real bullets. Now, I'm telling you right now, you get off my property, or I'm going to take my Elvis rifle, and I'm going to put a hole in you. Thank ye.
Thank ye. But if you had a gun that nice,
yeah, you wouldn't want to shoot it.
You wouldn't want to take it out and get it all dirty, would you, right?
Unless Robert Goulet was on TV. Then you might use it.
Look, it's Robert Goulet.
La-da-da.
Boom, boom, boom.
My boy, my boy.
That'll be enough of that S. The right side of the receiver has an image of Elvis enjoying the solitude of Graceland. Beside this image is another portrait of Elvis performing from his Hawaii satellite TV special.
Wow.
Both scenes are bordered in elegant scroll work.
I thought the decanter was bad.
On the left side of the receiver, an incredibly detailed portrait of Elvis. I'm looking at it now. It looks like someone drew it with a fingernail. Surrounded by gold records and elegant scroll work. Under his portrait, a banner proclaims...
Hi, this is Steve. Maybe I can help you.
The King of Rock and Roll. Steve, hi. This is Don and Mike.
Hi, Steve.
And
hi. We're doing a national radio show right now, and we were wondering if you had any information about the Elvis gun.
We think it's a match made in heaven, Elvis and firearms.
Uh-huh.
Elvis loved guns.
Yes, indeed.
You know that one time, not with a real rifle, but with a BB gun, Elvis shot out something like 600 flash bulbs in his pool.
Yeah, they used them like decoys, and they floated them in Elvis's pool, and they just had a great time because each time they'd shoot them, they'd go off, and the flash bulbs would go off. That wasn't a 30-30. That was a BB gun.
And Elvis was so lazy that he didn't want to take the time to reload the BB guns, so all the guys in his mafia, they would just keep handing him fully loaded guns so he could keep shooting at the pool.
Do you have any Elvis ammo, like with Elvis's face on the bullets?
What gave you the idea to, and a great idea today, don't get me wrong, you're going to make a lot of money selling a gun with Elvis's picture on it. What gave you that idea?
Just the history that he has with firearms and the collecting that he did with firearms.
Yeah, he was a big gun man.
Mm-hmm.
And is this a special gun? Does it really fire and everything?
Yes. It's a fully functional Winchester Model 94.
Model 94. Can you put a lot of bullets in it so you know, so you don't have to waste time loading? Because, you know, Elvis hated that part of guns. He liked to have lots of bullets in one gun and just fire and fire and fire.
It's just a standard lever action Winchester.
How many of these babies do you expect to sell, sir?
Well, the edition limit is 4,000. Hopefully we'll sell 1,000.
How many have you sold so far?
The ad just came out today. It was a small sampling ad in USA Today.
Yeah.
Quarter page. That's a nice size ad.
We noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
So have you gotten many calls today?
Several.
Have you sold any of the guns?
Several.
Are you going to keep one for yourself?
We normally keep a prototype here, yes.
You prototype at the Winchester factory?
No, we aren't part of the Winchester factory.
Mm-hmm.
Our agreement was with Graceland and...
Is that why you don't have a picture of purple bloated Elvis on the gun? I noticed that it's young Elvis, and it's the Elvis from the comeback special.
Tried to pick the portraits of him that were most representative of the music and the style that people are familiar with.
If this takes off, do you think you might market something that I think would even be better, an Elvis handgun?
He had some really beautiful hand-engraved handguns.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure if...
Those were the ones that he used to shoot out his TV with.
Look, E, Robert Goulet.
Boom.
What about a hand grenade named after his pet monkey, Scatter?
There's a twist.
Right, listen, yeah. I'll give you a chance to get a commercial here on national radio for your product. Are you up for that? If you can answer an Elvis trivia question, I'll give you a free commercial.
I know a little bit about Elvis, but I'm
okay, well, you can take a guess.
Maybe you can guess.
You get lucky, you get a free commercial, you know, with 4 million listeners.
All right, I got my fingers crossed for you.
Okay.
At the time of his death, what was the weight of Elvis's colon?
I don't know, a pound?
Oh.
No. You were way off.
It was impacted, it was chalky. We've heard anywhere from 40 to 60. Our official guess on the show is 40 pounds.
40 pounds, so you were 39 pounds off.
I was a little light, I guess, then, eh?
Yeah. All right. Well, no commercial for you.
Well, I appreciate it.
But thanks for your time, and best of luck selling the Elvis gun.
Thank you much.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, man.
Oh, can you imagine?
I have my two loves together now. Elvis and a beautiful firearm.
If only I could have seen what was happening to me, I might have done something about it.
No kidding, Elvis. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, my brother.
Hello, my friend.
Hey, do you know that they're racing the Elvis car this weekend in Las Vegas?
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Sir, I saw it on TV.
Who's the sponsor?
I'm not sure. It says, all I saw was on the back, it says, Viva Las Vegas.
Oh, man.
Maybe it has something to do with, like, with the Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce or something.
I
hope Elvis's pretty face doesn't get crashed in the wall. I hope nobody bumps up against Elvis.
On the front of the thing.
Here it is.
If that happened.
With a piece of duct tape hanging over.
If that happened, the driver, I'm sure, could get some goodies. Headache powders.
Out of powders.
Powders.
Sponsored by Graceland.
Yeah. Sponsored by Graceland?
NASCAR driver Rusty Wallace will be racing one of them, yes, in Las Vegas on March 1st.
He's a number one driver.
You the man.
He's a number one driver driving a car that's based on number two.
You know, the only thing to make that car better is he put a gun rack up and hung that Elvis Winchester up there.
What's wrong with people?
All right, I got my Elvis. Mama! Mama, I got my Winchester 30-30 with Elvis carved on.
And I guarantee there will be people like my brother, bless his heart,
mm-hmm.
who will not pay their phone bill,
right.
their rent,
mm-hmm.
their electricity, but you bet
right.
they've got their Elvis guns.
I'm actually living in a tent now, but if you look over at the wall, I've got my Elvis revolver.
Where's my jelly?
Jelly!
Jelly.
Does it shoot jelly bullets?
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Mm. Then you can shoot at your friends and they can catch it in their mouth and have plenty of jelly.
Hello, Don, my show. Hello.
Jelly bullets.
Hello.
The only thing make that gun better if it shot jelly bullets.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, this is Chuck Ed. I went to another bad cell and got dropped.
What, Chuck?
I was in Percival and then I was in Murrayville and wanted to know if Don was going to talk about Dan Wilkerson.
Can you give me a travelogue here, sir?
Wow, well, it sounds like it, doesn't it?
What? Turn down your radio.
Okay, hang on now.
Sounds like you're in a good cell now.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Call back when you're in a better cell. I'm glad the Redskins got Big Daddy from Cincinnati. I think he's a good player.
Big Daddy.
Hello?
Darn, Mike.
Yeah, Bobby.
Video Gods from Las Vegas here.
Hi there.
Hey, John Force, the funny car driver, is also going to unveil his Elvis car in Las Vegas at Caesar's Palace on Saturday also.
That's true. What, are they running low on money at Graceland? I mean, haven't they already licensed out every Elvis product that you possibly could come up with?
You got to love them at Graceland. They love that kind of stuff.
Well, John Force was doing it because I guess when he was in Memphis last time he raced and he caught on fire, he said he was about the 1,000-foot mark of the track and he saw Elvis because his car was on fire.
If only I could have seen what was happening to me. I might have done something about it.
That was a black and yellow dragster with hunka-hunka burning on the back and Elvis's face on the front.
God. I told you, you can't have the Elvis done. I already let you sign up for the Chocolate Pie of the Month Club.
The Elvis Presley Racing Team, sponsored by Fleet Enemas. Hello?
Yeah, it's Scott from Greenville.
Hello, Scott. You're on the air.
How's it going, man?
Hey, buddy.
I'm one of the people that gave up my car to get the little Rusty Wallace Elvis car.
You're what?
I'm one of the people that gave up my car so I could get me one of the little action rusty cars with Elvis on the hood.
How much did that set you back?
$59.
Wow. So you bought like a toy NASCAR that has Elvis on it?
Exactly.
All right, good.
Is Rusty Wallace a big Elvis fan? Is that why?
Yeah, you know, rock and roll, Rusty, Elvis, they all go together.
All right, well, do you play with your Elvis car? Do you, like, sit in the living room and go, brr, brr, brr. Elvis driving to McDonald's. Brr. Elvis driving to donuts.
Brr. Mama, set up a jelly obstacle course. Just get little jars of jelly, and I'll try to drive my Elvis car around him.
This is great fun.
Hello, Don.
My gun here yet?
And Mike Show, hello.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Hey, doing great, thanks.
Hey, who am I speaking to?
This is Don and Mike. Who do you think you're speaking to?
Hey, man. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
Lay off the southern guy, all right? Like Neil Young said, we don't need y'all around.
Wait, listen, change the station.
I'm for sitting in front of the friggin' TV watching Hogan's Heroes, so leave the stock car people on.
Why don't you just change the station if you don't like the show, you jackass?
Hey, I got your jackass.
Hey, you're a redneck hillbilly, too.
Huh?
You're a redneck hillbilly, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. That's what your mama told me. Your mama told me with her DSLs when I was giving her VBF. And she said, you're good at VBF. Your mama told me the only time she's ever had better VBF is when you did it with her.
Oh!
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 Hey, you need some BCC in your mouth.
BCC. I hate it when we don't know the initials.
Listen, don't take it so seriously. I'm being blinded by the glow from your neck, though. Gotta hang. Oh,
he's gone. He's gone. He didn't want to smoke peace pipe.
For goodness sakes.
What a shame.
What's wrong with people? Send that man some jelly.
You know, we make fun of everybody on this show. Come on now. We like jelly. We only talk about jelly because we like jelly.
I'd love to give away jelly on this show.
Oh, man, can you imagine that? Big? And can we give, like, the big
big tubs?
You know the kind you get at Price Club? Huge, big tubs of jelly. Yeah. Pork things of jelly. So you can use it every day on everything. Pork chops.
Hello, jelly sandwiches.
Jelly sandwiches. Just jelly. And sometimes you just want jelly. Just smear it on your hand. Lick it off.
Hello.
Jelly.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
My buddy, Don and Mike Fowles.
Hey.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
I hear Dennis Murphy's doing something for you all.
Yes, Tom. Dennis Murphy is my number one friend.
What's he going to be doing for you?
You should listen to the show, Tom.
I am listening.
Well, you missed it. Dennis is getting his own weekend show here at the station, Tom.
Why can I?
You can't.
Why?
Dennis is our favorite person, and that's why we're letting him have a show.
What's he going to be doing? What kind of show is he going to be doing?
You know, little rap, little music, little love talk. You know, all the things Dennis is real good at.
I can do the same thing.
No, thanks, Tom.
Dennis is coming down here. They're going to take his picture, and we're going to put it up on the wall here.
Tom, you're a second-rate Dennis Murphy.
Guess what? I got my picture on.
You're a Dennis Murphy wannabe, Tom Gavin.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are, Tom.
I got my picture on the Wall of Fame at Channel 10.
Congratulations, Tom.
That's you must be very thrilled.
Yep.
Hello. Yeah, well, that doesn't amuse me the way that Dennis Murphy's stories of whimsy do.
Guess what?
You got to come up with some new bits, Tom.
Like new bits?
Yeah, new bits.
Yeah, new characters.
New characters like Elmer Fudd and...
Elmer Fudd would be a nice new character. Could we hear that?
Yes. Hello, this is Elmer Fudd and...
That sounds just like the parrot.
Who's another character?
And Elmer Fudd.
No, do another character besides the parrot and Elmer Fudd. Do a new one.
That's all funny, yo. That's not like...
People say to me, Don, why were you upset when your son was in the hospital and Tom Gavin called your son's room? Why were you upset? He's just a fan of the show.
I'm just a fan of the show.
Yeah, I know. Okay, Tom. Bye, buddy.
Hi, Buzz.
Hey, Tommy.
How you doing?
I'm good, man.
All right, gotta go, Tommy.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Later.
Oh, my God.
There he is, our number one fan, Thomas Aloysius Gavin. With that, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I got to ask this question or I wouldn't be doing my job. Would you care to comment on the rumor that you arranged for an automobile to be purchased for Neon Badeau?
You know, Ed, you just got to get your mind out of the gutter. You know, you just got to start thinking straight. I mean, it's right there in front of you. For Christ's sake, it wasn't an automobile. I mean, it was a fully loaded Lexus. The damn car had everything. It had everything, didn't it, Happy? I mean, that car was fully loaded, wasn't it?
No, Coach. It was a nuclear surfboard, remember?
You know, and the damn thing of it is, Ed, is, you know, Neon, he didn't want it. He didn't want the car. He didn't ask for anything, but, you know, he wasn't for sale. But we got it for him anyway. I mean, and I think, personally, that it would have been a hell of a deal, a good price. I mean, what did Neon do tonight? Does anybody know how many boards did Neon have tonight? 13 boards? Well, there you are. It would have been a hell of a deal. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what Neon would have done if we had tried to give him a Ferrari?
Two tumbling dickweeds, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Okay, Jingle Boy, who as far as we know is a young man who's being... Well, did you see the movie Ransom with Mel Gibson? Mm-hmm. Young boy is being held in his basement somewhere, and his mommy has duct taped him to the chair, and she feeds him lots of Robitussin and makes him sing stupid show songs.
Yeah, we've gotten lots of tapes from Jingle Boy.
Show tunes.
It has been a long time since the last time we heard from Jingle Boy, and we were a little concerned because right after we started exposing what we thought was going on, that's when we lost contact with Jingle Boy.
Right. Originally, he came to our attention when his mom made him sing a song about Frank Gifford having an affair with the stewardess.
Yes.
And then there was maybe a Christmas song.
Jingle Boy, my dear. It's better than you fear, or whatever it was.
Yeah, they're real bad. And then out of the blue, we got this one. And it's the Jingle Boy tribute to the Titanic.
This is the stage mom from hell. I bet she's on the tape, too.
Okay, here we go.
Titanic hit an iceberg so gigantic. The captain said,
"This poor kid.
By golly, we're as good as dead."
What?
The ship filled with water.
Why is she trying to make him Shirley Temple?
I worry about this boy. I hope she doesn't dress him like Buster Brown. Yeah, right. You know what I mean, Ruffles.
That's what I'm picturing with this one.
Big lollipop. I love you, Mommy.
Sing. Meanwhile, she's like doing all the lyrics at the piano.
And that's the way to go.
His unsinkable was sunk.
Oh, this kid should be out playing ball.
Absolutely.
He should be watching TV.
I tell you, he's going to be 13 and be right in the medicine cabinet.
The next, Sam Harris. Sam Harris Jr.
Oh,
very nice. Who knows what he was singing? Excuse me.
Jingle Boy, my dear, I've written a song about the Titanic because it's timely and hot. Now get in there and rehearse.
All right, let me try to call.
Oh, God.
Jingle Boy's mom at work.
Oh, no. She's at it again.
We've tried to expose her in the past.
And maybe it was just a drought of ideas. Yeah. And then finally, the Titanic got hot.
Now sing, boy.
Sing.
Mommy, I'm hungry.
Sing.
Sing as if your life depended on it.
We're sorry. What? Your call did not go through.
All right, let me try this line.
Hey, looking to see.
What?
What number are we at now?
What number are we at? Oh, you're still calling for the contest?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've been on the forklift for a while.
Oh, gotcha. Where are you calling from?
Wichita.
Forklift man. Yeah, no, we gave that away. Keep listening.
All righty, bud.
Okay, bud.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Farmer Bonnie.
I'd love to run a forklift. Yeah.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello. I just moved to Atlanta, and I was wondering if the guys are on down here.
In Atlanta?
Yeah.
I don't know. Somewhere in Georgia.
Yeah. Athens, Georgia? Are we still on in Athens, Georgia?
I don't know. Listen, who knows? Hello, Donna Mike Show. You know, they come and they go.
We used to be on in Augusta, Georgia, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we used to be on in a lot of places. Yeah.
If we counted the places we used to be on.
Yeah.
All right. That's part of the biz.
Yeah. Gotta see if the show sticks. Now, what's wrong with this line?
Ah. No, Mommy. Mommy. No, please, Mommy, dearest. Don't do that to me. Sing, boy. Sing.
It's always some little show tune thing.
Oh, and about the show and how the radio business works in a couple of cities that we're hoping to come back to very soon.
Thank you for calling AM Cosmetics, Wet and Wild and Black Radiance Division.
Right.
If you know your party's extension,
I do.
Please,
I think that's her, isn't it?
Oh. Thank you.
In one of those cities that we've recently had to leave, we now have three stations who are bidding against each other.
Ooh. Good.
For the show, and two stations bidding in another big southern city.
Excellent.
Hello, is this Helen?
Yes, it is.
Helen, this is Don and Mike. And
hi, Don and Mike.
We are concerned about your son, and you're on the air.
Helen!
Hello.
Hello, stage mommy dearest.
Hi.
Well, we've received this, Helen.
When the bad ship, the Titanic, hit an iceberg.
Why are you doing that to that kid?
Let the boy have a normal life, for God's sake. Let him be out. Get out there and play stickball.
How come you're making your boy sing these songs?
He's been doing a stand-up comedy in New York City.
Oh, God.
He has all these different characters.
Who drives him into New York City? It's you, isn't it?
No, we actually take a train in.
You take a train, but you go with him, don't you?
Of course.
And you're backstage when he's performing.
No, I'm out in the audience.
Oh, God, same thing.
You're not in the audience, but I'm sure you're there. You're right by. Listen, we're concerned. Helen, we're concerned about Jingle Boy. We really are. It's like you send us the tape about Frank Gifford.
You have a little room for him, like down in the basement where you keep him chained?
Yeah.
Then you send us all the Christmas tapes, and now this out of the blue. Seems like you're just trying to cash in on whatever the hot fad of the moment is. And you write up one of these little ditties, and then you bring him over, and you say, you know, if you want your dinner, you'll sing this song for me.
Sing, boy, sing.
Right.
How have you been, Mommy dearest?
We've been doing good.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And how's Jingle Boy?
He's great.
And really?
How old is he now, and are you giving him any medication to keep his voice from changing?
No, he's 12 years old.
Oh, boy. 12 years old.
12. Would there be any way that we could talk to the boy?
He's going to be in here in about 10 minutes.
10 minutes. He's coming into your office.
Yeah.
How about we call you back?
Okay.
We'd love to interview him.
Okay then.
We'd just like to find out how much of this is being done with his free will.
Okay. He'll be here in 10 minutes.
Like this Titanic song. That here it is again. Here you go. Let's listen to a minute. I have a question about this song, Helen.
When the bad ship, the Titanic, hit an iceberg, so.
Here's the question. Did you write that piece of music?
We did it together.
And of course you did it together. Yes, as you were, you know, did you have your hands handcuffed together?
Nah.
See, Helen, you know, no offense, we have a tough time believing that a normal, well-adjusted 12-year-old kid, you know, unless he's Rosie O'Donnell's kid,
She lives down the street.
She does.
Oh, now, this sounds to me like a tape that you would hear of Rosie O'Donnell. Oh, my son, listen to the tape my son made. He loves Broadway.
Put him on the Rosie show.
Rosie. You know, but with Rosie O'Donnell, I mean, I could understand it.
Yeah.
Okay, but Helen, as far as I know...
Have you ever seen Rosie O'Donnell, like, in person?
Yeah, she's here. She walks around town all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a scary lady, Helen?
No.
And Jingle Boy loves his mommy, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Tell me,
very close.
Helen, tell me what kind of unfulfilled dreams you had as a young girl. Had you wanted to be a performer yourself?
I was. was. I did. I put myself through college with stand-up comedy.
Stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Really? And did you have dreams of being an actress someday?
No, no. I just wanted to be a listening WJFK listener.
Meanwhile, you live where?
In Nyack, New York.
Nyack, New York. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She's a networker.
Okay. So. You claim that you and your son write the songs together.
Yeah.
Yet you tell us that you had a failed musical career of your own.
No. Is it, I have a failed. I was a music major.
Is it not true, Helen, that you are forcing your failed dreams on this boy's trampled psyche?
No.
By forcing him to wear these frilly outfits, by forcing him to sing these silly songs. Most boys want to be, you know what? Introduce that kid to Nintendo. Go buy him a nice Big Mac. Let him hang at the mall.
See, in Joan Crawford's case, she went out and chopped down the rose bushes. You see, what you're doing is, this is how you're venting.
Take that boy to Discovery Zone. Put him in that big ball cage.
He's an all-star ball player. He's involved in a lot of things.
Oh, yes, he's involved right now. He's down in the basement, chained to the bed.
He's outside playing basketball right now.
So you say, Helen.
Yes, so you say.
Yes.
You know something, Helen? We're taking your word for it, aren't we?
Well, I'll tell you what. He'll be here in about 4 more minutes. You can ask him.
Oh, you know, then you'll be standing right over him with that big ruler.
I swear to God, I won't.
Well, if he's right downstairs, go get him right now.
I'll go. Well, he's outside playing basketball. I'll get him. Give me 3 minutes.
3 minutes? Hurry, Helen.
Okay.
Get on your broom.
Run, Helen, run.
Hurry.
There goes Helen.
Who knows?
Oh, man.
Jingle boy, the radio station's on. Get up here.
Mommy, I don't want to sing the Titanic song.
Come on now, where we won't have waffles for dinner.
I think she always calls him Jingle Boy instead of his real name.
Probably. Yeah, and then she throws in that little WJFK, our station in Washington, when we know she lives in Nyack, New York.
Right, she lives on the Rochester, New York station, I think.
Wow.
On WHTK. She works at a cosmetic company. Helen does. I got her business card right here. That's how we tracked her down.
Jingle Boy playing basketball now with his Buster Brown outfit on. And his Dutch boy haircut.
Look, Mommy.
In the battleship.
All right.
Titanic.
Let me give you a little background. Here's a little background. This is like maybe the third or fourth tape that we received from them where she had him read a statement at
right.
the beginning of the tape saying that he was not making these songs of anything but his own free will.
Right. Hi, Don and Mike. This is Jingle Boy's mother, Helen. I received your message on my voicemail, and I just wanted to clear up any misconception that you both may have that I am a pushy showbiz mother. I am not one of these pushy parents living through their children. Oh, no. Jingle Boy loves to sing. He really wants to be a star, and he wants to do this all by himself.
Well, listen, let me break into that from our archives, because I believe... Hello?
Hello?
Helen?
We've got the poor boy on the phone now. Jingle Boy, is this you?
Yes, it's me.
Okay, Mom, would you hang up the phone, please, Helen?
Mom, my mom's not on the phone.
She not on the other extension?
No, there was only one.
All right, and where is she right now in the room, son?
She's right across from me.
Is she staring at you, Jingle Boy?
No, she's doing her work.
She's doing her work.
Does Mom tell you what songs to sing and when you'll see them? Sing them?
What do you mean by that?
Well, there's like the Titanic song, like this song right here. This is you, right?
When the
yeah.
Right.
The
like when you're making that song.
But I was making that song, she didn't tell me when to. I would say, well, she like would say, okay, now we have to practice, and then I would practice.
So she'd tell you when the practice time was.
Now we have to practice. Uh-huh.
All right. Do you have to perform these songs before you're fed?
No.
No, you do this on your own free will?
Yeah.
Does Mommy make you put on shows all the time?
No.
So she's treating you well, Jingle Boy?
Yes, she is.
And she's a good mother?
Oh, yeah.
Were you really out playing basketball?
Yep.
Really? How many points do you get for a basket?
How many points do I get for a basket?
Yes,
in a real game.
2.
All right, very good.
Okay, we're just testing. We want to make sure everything's all right.
Who was a cartoon? Who was a cartoon star who starred with Michael Jordan in his movie?
Bugs Bunny.
All right, very good. Okay, that means you've seen that movie.
Yes.
Well, she let you out of the house for that.
Oh yeah.
All right,
very good.
Who's your favorite member of the Simpsons?
Bart.
Bart. Okay, he knows the Simpsons.
What? Let me ask you this: if you're doing a math problem and you have an exclamation point, what does that mean?
The
That means the teacher's trying to make you laugh.
Yeah, that's what I know.
Not what I learned yesterday. But
that's his
okay.
Showbiz take on it.
Oh, I gotcha. No, that's factorials. My son, who doesn't sing or dance, learned that at his school last week.
It doesn't make sense.
So, Jingle Boy, you're enjoying life.
Yeah.
That's okay, good. Well, listen, son, we're just concerned. We want to make sure that these tapes that your mommy is sending us are tapes that you want us to have.
Yeah, of course I want you guys to have it.
Okay, well, then I guess we accept it and we say thank you.
Okay,
how's that stand-up career going, son?
Good.
Can you give us a little of your stand-up material?
Okay.
All right, great.
I love New York because people in New York argue with their dogs in the street. I was on West 53rd and 7th Avenue, and I saw this guy go to his dog.
Brainwashed. This kid is brainwashed.
Not to do that. You know, once or twice, I would like to hear the dog say, I don't know, 300-400 times, I don't know. I was at my friend's house the other day, and they got this new German Shepherd puppy.
Yeah.
Took a big dump right on the carpet. My friend comes running in, and he goes, who did that? I looked at the dog, and the dog looked at me, and I felt bad for the dog, so I said, I did it. So my friend hit me in the head with the newspaper.
Well,
bravo, way to go, Jingle Boy.
Oh, I get it.
Joke.
I get jokes.
Right. All right.
Thank you, Jingle Boy, and good luck with your stand-up comedy.
Thank you.
All right. Stay with sports.
Okie dokie.
Keep a boy out of court.
All right.
You like girls?
Sometimes.
Do you have a girlfriend?
No.
Who's a really hot girl, do you think? Who's a hot girl?
You mean like on TV or something?
Yeah, of course.
A girl?
Yeah. Who's the hottest girl on TV?
I don't know.
I'm just giving you a test here.
I have no idea.
Oh, dear.
Really?
Yep.
Do you like Buffy?
I've never seen it.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
How about in your school? Is there a particular girl that's really good-looking?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's her name?
Lauren. Everybody says she's the most prettiest girl in the whole entire school.
Wow. Oh, really?
Yep.
Would you like to kiss her?
Please don't tempt me.
Please don't tempt me.
Show business is in this boy's blood.
Yeah. All right, son. Well, as long as mommy is not locking you up in a shed somewhere,
we just wanted to check. You know, we always like to check on your welfare. We sometimes think your mommy's forcing you to do those songs.
Okay.
You understand that, don't you?
Yeah.
All right. Listen. Put your mommy on. I want to give her a prize.
Okay. Here, mom.
I
want
to give you a prize.
Yeah.
Can I stop twisting his arm now?
Yeah. We're going to send you a cucumber with our best wishes based on something that happened yesterday on the show. We're going to give all the special ladies in our life their very own cucumbers.
And I found out from Buzz yesterday that it was an error when I said a cucumber was a vegetable. It's actually a fruit.
It is a fruit.
Really? Yes. And so is a nectarine.
All right. Well, there you go. Jingle Boy's mom. Oh, I had one last question for him.
Yes. Oh, here he is.
One last question, and then I'll be done with the Inquisitor. Hey, Jingle Boy?
Yeah?
Could you please just describe the creamy flavor of NyQuil to me?
NyQuil?
How does NyQuil taste?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever had it.
No, probably not knowingly.
Robitussin?
No, he's been brainwashed, Buzz.
Well, Jingle Boy, good luck. That's all we can say to you.
Okay.
Nice talking to you.
Okay. Nice talking to you guys, too.
All right. Stay outside.
Okie dokie.
Don't forget, 911.
Put mommy back on the phone.
Okay. Here she is.
Well, Helen.
When the bad ship, the Titan.
I guess we won't turn you over to the authorities this time, Helen.
Thank you, guys.
You've outfoxed us again.
That's right. Just remember, Helen, we're watching you.
Yeah. Okay.
Take care of that boy.
Thank you a lot.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Keep him away from Rosie's kids.
I will. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, man.
Bye-bye.
Wow. You know, in this particular case, might be a good idea for mom to let him go to an R-rated movie.
Oh, God. Hey, Jingle Boy. Jingle Boy, check it in. Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
It's Jeff. I called yesterday, and I was hit in the penis with a hockey puck. And I had my surgery today.
Yeah, we didn't believe you yesterday,
right.
And we don't believe you today.
You started a flurry of calls yesterday, although the one guy who did get his fingers chopped off.
We confirmed that story.
He was on the level. Yeah.
Now, whoever took my call when I first called in was at the hockey game. They were there when it happened.
Really?
Yes.
Hey, Cannon, come here for a minute. I called now the gentle giant.
The
Cannon Grace.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, it's Cannon Grace.
Hey, look what happened to Cannon. He looks just like Charlie Broyo.
It wasn't Cannon that was there.
Was it Big Gum Jim?
No, it was me. I was there watching Jimmy's game.
So you really saw this guy get the hockey puck in Oh, you didn't?
I didn't see it happen. He says he just skated off the ice and went about his business, but I didn't see anybody look like they got hit that painfully.
Right smack.
What is the surgery that you had done on your penis today?
They gave me a shot right there, and that was agonizing. And then they went in there. They went in and
let me ask you a scientific question. Okay. Let me break it. How do I put this? Does it hurt when you wee wee?
No.
It's a good doctor.
If I happen to get morning wood, I was in excruciating pain. But whatever shot they gave me has seemed to keep that from happening.
All right, here's why I don't believe him. I don't think some guy who just had penis surgery would be calling us.
And I think if Charlie Broyhill was at that game and had seen somebody that was that severely injured, they would have fallen to the ice in a great deal of pain.
Right, because wouldn't you be on some kind of severe tranquilizer now?
They gave me Tylenol with codeine.
Is it in a sling?
I wish.
A full body cast.
I wish. No, it doesn't hurt too bad. It doesn't get up at all anymore.
You keep trying to say get up and stuff like that.
You're not telling the truth.
Can I come down and show it to you?
No. Come on.
Okay.
Get a better line.
Do you know Big Gum Jim?
No, I don't.
Mm. Okay, see, I mean, if you were at that game, you probably would know him.
I hate that team.
What exactly is it allegedly that happened to your penis?
There was a vein in there that was ruptured.
Oh, sorry, you told us that yesterday.
Oh, God.
Don't believe it. Hello, Dynamite Show. Guilty. The main vein.
I've seen many guys get hit there with hockey pucks, mm-hmm. and the velocity that it would take, and if you had that kind of injury, you'd fall down, and you'd be wincing in pain, going, oh, my God, you wouldn't, I skated off. I didn't even notice it till later that a vein in my penis was severed.
Well, maybe he's a real man, Mike. Hello, Don on my show. Hey, he's full of crap.
Hello.
Is this a phone left off the hook, you think?
Oh.
It just hung up.
They are gone.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hey.
Hey.
Tell me about One Ball Paul.
What about One Ball Paul?
He had a little accident.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for sharing.
Bye-bye. Adios.
And we see right through you, ladies and gentlemen. That was One Ball Paul. You know, he calls it and he likes to talk about himself in third person.
Ask for him by name. Well, One Ball Paul is only going to do its best for One Ball Paul.
One Ball Paul doesn't like that attitude.
All thanks be to God. I'm just trying to do it like an athlete, right? You know, when you win the Super Bowl.
It's really important for me to do what's right for One Ball Paul.
Not a Mike Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, you are on the air.
Yes, I was just going to tell you that I used to be a Navy hospital corpsman, and we had a guy who was watching a belly dancer in Turkey, and, you know, he was aroused. She jumped down in his lap and snapped it like a dry twig, and he didn't even know it till one of his friends asked him why his lap was filled with blood.
Oh. Now, see, unfortunately, this story has credibility.
Oh, no, see, here's why I don't think it has credibility. You would notice that. Mm-hmm. That, you know, maybe I'm alone here, but hey, guys, that's a pretty sensitive area, right?
Yeah, you'd be in a lot of pain.
I think I would notice it too. But
if it cracked like a twig.
Yeah, he said he was paying too much attention to her.
Hey, buddy, look, your lap's full of blood. All right, goodbye.
Have a good one.
Oh, yeah, super. Oh, okay. Right back at you.
Boy, it snapped like a dry twig.
Ooh. Thank you, buddy. Ooh. If only I had known all of the penis calls we'd get on today's show.
If only I could have seen what was happening to me, I might have done something about it.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Yeah, Donnie, how about this during those NASCAR races? They just release a deer out onto the track at random times.
Hey, that's a beautiful idea. That is a beautiful idea. I'm going to applaud that idea myself, sir.
You know, we do have that exploding deer population problem. You can combine two of America's first loves.
So you put a deer out every 50 laps. Mm-hmm. You let a deer go. Fantastic. And let it roam in the pit area.
Dick Trickle's coming right around Rusty Wallace right now. Whoa, Bambi's out there. Yes, sir. Look at them scramble now.
That's a pretty good one. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
Hey, wondering if you saw what was on Fox tonight.
Yeah, that Magic Show Part 2. Hey, I read in the newspaper.
They're replaying number one, too.
Yeah, I read in the newspaper that they've outed that guy, whoever
yes,
he is.
The great Valentino.
The guy with that bad mask. Mm. Well, good for him.
Didn't someone say that they thought that was a girl? They saw something underneath the shirt?
Oh, yeah, somebody called us when that last show was on. That's a good show. And being a magician myself, I'm all for that show.
And, you know, if they saw something, it could be, those breasts could be an illusion.
Magicians are so full of crap. I think it's good that they're outed like this. I think everybody likes magicians fine, as long as they don't come off with this crap like they're really doing something special.
That's right.
You know what I mean? If a guy comes out and he says, hey, I got some good tricks.
It's a trick. It's an illusion.
Look at this. Boom. It's vanished. Everybody goes, yeah, very nice. You got a prick like David Copperfield coming out, when, you know, wanting to do, he's out there doing yoga while, you know, while really all he's trying to do is get you to look at the ceiling
right,
so you won't see that they're wheeling in a box behind him.
Copperfield on the zoo.
Copperphilia. That's what I think of when I think of David Copperfield.
And, you know, I saw that Claudia Schiffer doing a commercial the other day. She, you know, I know that she's supposed to be supermodel, but right, Claudia Schiffer, of all the supermodels, she's got that overbite. That big, she does the thing where she can't talk through her teeth. You should try the silky. The silky feeling of this new lotion that I'm pitching to you. David, are we going to the Academy Awards?
Have you seen David Copperfield's mom?
Yes.
His mom doing commercials now, too? Mm-hmm. I never realized that my boy David would grow up to be the most famous homo magician in the world. Claudia Schiffer is a total beard.
Hello there. Yes, to me. I'm David's beard. Good to see you, Mama.
But it's good. It's good to show how you do those tricks, because magicians have been getting away with that for a long time.
That's a scary mask that guy wears, or that girl wears.
Whatever. Yeah, it's kind of a... Well, he calls himself the Phantom, doesn't he, when he's doing the magic on that show?
I don't know, but it frightens me.
It's good. I like it. It pisses magicians off.
Wasn't it like a super high-rated special, too, the last time they
did? The highest-rated show in the history of Fox television.
And you loved it. You said the last one was great, so this one should be good, too.
They show everything. They show absolutely everything. And I know that magicians are so mad. You know, we should get a copy of one of those magicians' magazines.
Right.
One of those, like, just for guys who are actually practicing magicians.
Right.
Because as ridiculous as those letters to the cigar magazine were,
right,
you'll find even more from magicians who are mad.
I'll tell you right now, that's the worst thing that anyone could do. He's destroying our livelihood.
Do you remember when I brought some tricks in a couple of years ago?
Yep.
Did them and then showed you how to do them. And some guy wrote a letter to one of these magic magazines, mm-hmm, just absolutely crucifying me for letting go of this elusive secret.
We all liked it here on the show. We especially liked that you showed up in a, you know, tuxedo and top hat.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's tonight. We'll watch that. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, all right. Thanks.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Many times calls simply thought starters on the show.
Yes, yes. And then we just go on from there and think wonderful thoughts like the amazing Blackstone.
Hello, Donna Mycia. Hello.
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 You are on the air.
Hi, my name is Kirsten. I was at the hockey game.
Uh-huh.
I can confirm him getting hit in the balls with the puck.
Oh, you're a friend. You're a friend of his.
No, I'm not. I was driving home from getting my hair done, and I was listening to the radio show on the radio, and I came inside running to the phone to call you guys. I don't even know this guy.
Huh? Give me that again.
I was on my way home, driving home.
All right, that's all the stuff I don't want to hear. How do I know that you're the lady... Who are you?
I'm calling to confirm that he got hit in the balls with a puck.
Well,
at the hockey game.
Did you see him? Did he didn't show any sign of pain, did he?
Well, he kind of cowered over, and they had to help him off the ice.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Really? Do you think he had penis surgery?
Well, I don't know. He looked like he was in a lot of pain.
Was his lap full of blood?
No.
Do you think it hurt when he wee-weed?
I would think that it would, but if he says it didn't...
Did he have a cranberry juice?
Did he have a cranberry juice?
Hold on. Are you talking...
No, he probably had a Bloody Mary.
Let me clarify one thing. Do you think this happened when you went to a Washington Capitals game?
Yeah.
No, this guy was not a professional hockey player. This guy was like playing in some amateur league.
Do you think a professional
really?
Hockey player, well, okay, although there is a possibility, yeah, would call the show and just said, this is what happened to me?
No, somebody at the hockey game yesterday, on Sunday, actually got hit.
Well, that happens all the time.
Had to help him off.
No, I don't think you're right.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Oh.
Oh,
hello.
Gone.
Oh, well.
Shut your f***ing mouth.
Okay.
Wow. Thank you, Godmother.
She's tough. And Buzz, what is it you say about her always?
She's firm, but
hey,
fair.
My guy.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
You're off base, man. The professional magicians don't give a damn about this guy. The tricks they're showing are a bunch of nothing. It doesn't affect my income.
Are you a magician?
Yes, I am.
Then you, so you make a living performing magic?
In Vegas. I've been doing it for the last 5 years.
Oh, come on. Wouldn't you agree that there's a fraternity of magicians that's like an old boys club that absolutely, their panties are in a royal wad when anybody shows how to do a trick?
Used to be. You're talking about the Magic Castle back in the heyday, the 60s, ending up in the 70s. These guys died off, and the thing of any kind of real ethical code died with them.
Now, do you know this guy?
They're no better than a doctor.
Do you know this guy Valentino? Because he's supposed to perform in Vegas.
Well, he allegedly, I know Valentino, he allegedly is the magician, and he ended up losing his contract at the Stratosphere when he came back. There was going to be a big picket line. And
what's your best trick?
Huh?
What's your biggest trick?
My best is that I do fire, and I'm a horizontal fire eater. And if you're not a fire,
go. Okay, I'll tell you something.
Cool. See, that's cool whether you know it's a trick or not.
You're not a magician, you're a freak.
Hold on, I do magic with it. But I do a one-handed flaming rose production. Now, there's another guy who does the rose production out here who does with two hands.
What is a flaming rose production?
I take a piece of flash paper. You know what that is, right?
Yeah, that's paper, and you rub it together, and it goes like it's blown up.
You have to ignite it, but it burns super fast. And I make a rose out of it, and I float it around. And then I catch it in my hand. Actually, it floats up to my nose. And then as I bring it down, I light it. And in a flash, it turns into a real rose.
Ooh. Now, would you be pissed? Hold on.
You guys are my radio gods.
Thank you. But let's say you're performing at whatever hotel you're at.
Okay.
And there's a guy out in the lobby. And he's showing everybody exactly how to do your tricks. And there's a guy out on the street.
I wouldn't do those tricks. See, that's the whole thing. You know, you can't do the garbage, okay, and be a professional. Now, it does. This thing hurts the little guys that are making a buck on the same old tricks that nobody really cares about anyway, but it fills their contract obligations.
Do you have a Van Dyke?
No. I'm a fire eater. I have no facial hair.
Oh, no facial hair. All right.
What's
horizontal fire. Also, I eat a foot of fire. If you guys would ever have a Las Vegas style show out here, I would come and do fire eating for you guys.
All right. Well, thank you.
I like this guy. Well, you want to give yourself a plug? If you're, are you performing currently?
Yeah.
Where are you at?
It's Stanley J. Inferno, and anybody can. Well, no, you know what? I just thought about it. I don't want to give any numbers out because I know the Don and Mike audience.
Well, what's the hotel you're at?
I'm not at a hotel. I work convention.
Oh, you work convention?
Oh.
Yeah, I do like McDonald's is one of my gigs. Pepsi. I also do some Coca-Cola.
Okay, and so you are claiming that today's modern magician is not so uptight. And maybe I'll buy that, but I would like to just say that also I consider you to be not so much a total magician, at least part freak.
I would show you magic that would make you bleed. I spin metal in front of you. Okay?
You would what? You would do what?
I take forks and I shake them in your face. And it bends, it just melts right in front of you.
Oh, come on, Uri Geller. Listen, that's another big...
That's right. And
listen, I'll tell you what happened with Uri Geller on this show.
It's a trick. The guy wouldn't do nothing.
Right.
You guys...
You heard that one.
Burn him.
Did you like what we did with Uri?
It's real.
What?
It's not, he thinks it's real. It's not. It's a trick.
So when you're doing that, when you wave that, when do you bend the spoon, or when do you slip another spoon in front of someone's face? How do you do that trick?
The bending of a fork?
Yeah.
I'll bend the way I'll bend a prong is I'll pre-bend it, and then as I start to shake it in front of your face, I'll reveal it. But it's already bent.
I like this guy.
All right.
How's that?
Cool. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Hey, you guys are the best.
Thanks.
I love you.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's cool.
All right.
That's a new perspective from a magician.
Yeah. I bet he's more laid back than your average magician.
Sure. You know what? Now that we're on in Vegas, it's cool, too, because we get showbiz performers.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Paul, do you know about the early days at the Kimberly Diamond Mines? Do you know what they did to the native workers who stole diamonds? Don't worry, they didn't kill them. That would be like junking a Mercedes just because it had a broken spring. No, if they caught them, they had to make sure they could go on working. But they also had to make sure they could never run away. The operation was called hobbling.
Amy.
Whatever you think I'm about doing, please don't do it. Any for God's.
Shh, darling. Trust me.
God's sake.
It's for the best.
Hey, please!
Almost done. Just one more.
The Don and Mike Show.
They take the tongue boat to Tuna Town. Don and Mike.
Okay, hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
I was just calling to say that you were off the air in Boise, but now you're back on, so I'm pointless.
All right, that's called a commercial set. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, how you doing today?
Hey, buddy.
Huh?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, well, you guys are cut off up in Massachusetts.
Oh, maybe that was a network problem, not just a commercial break. Well, we should be back on.
Are you sure? Yeah. They're playing oldies now. I was listening to you guys. It's really bugging me.
Oh, you know what? The network must have lost the feed for a second.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it'll take...
Back on now, hey.
Yeah, so it just took the people at the station a couple of minutes to get hit with that. Okay.
All right, that's cool then.
Thank you.
Take care.
You can blame Al Nino for that.
Hey, everybody. Al Nino with you. Yeah. Good look at Tuesday.
Al Nino.
Two for Tuesday on the Al Nino Show. Hello. Donna Mike.
Hello?
Hello. Turn down your radio, please. Well, all right. That's extreme.
Sometimes, well, sometimes people get confused, the big knob and whether to hang up the phone.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hello.
Guess what? You can't guess?
You're off the air. We're off the air in your town.
No, you're coming in loud and clear in my town, and I'm loving it.
Wrong, Buzz Burbank.
I can see that now.
Wrong. Buzzy, wuzzy, cute and fuzzy. What?
That's about it. I just called for that.
What?
What did you call for?
Just to let you know everything's going groovy in Baltimore and you're coming in well.
So that was what the guess what was all about?
Yeah.
Guess what?
You've taken less valid calls than that.
Guess what?
No what?
You're not on the show anymore. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
That's like when you get somebody that says, hey, you know what?
What?
Guess.
All right. Here's what. Somebody go, do you know how to keep an idiot in suspense?
Yeah. How?
I'll tell you in 5 minutes.
Oh!
That's a funny joke. All right, here's what it said about Jerry Lewis in today's USA Today.
This is serious Jerry stuff.
Serious Jerry. He gets an award. I don't know who the people are who would give him an award. The American Comedy Awards.
Oh.
So they give him an award, and it says, honoree Jerry Lewis thanked his former partner, the late Dean Martin. Quote, the straight man is never given recognition. Now, I'll tell you right there, that's his way of putting down Dean Martin.
Yeah, that's the way of him saying that Dean was never funny.
Right. Jerry was the funny guy, but it's real tough being the guy that's not funny. Then he advised young comedians. Here's another quote. Do what I did. Demand perfection. Never settle for less. Think funny. Don't take yourself too seriously.
Can you believe, of all the people in the universe, Jerry Lewis is telling people not to take themselves too seriously?
And that's the progression. The progression is, do what I did, demand perfection, never settle for less, think funny. Oh, yes, don't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah, really, Jerry, who wears one pair of socks a day.
And then here's the best quote of all. Off stage, Jerry Lewis refused to be photographed with Gary Shandling.
Oh, wow.
No, I can't do this. He sternly told the photographer, Gary, you have to call first.
Wow.
Wow. That's not written like a joke.
Yeah.
It's written like, that's how Jerry Lewis does business. You want your picture taken with him, you got to call and set it up in advance.
And obviously it was some publicist that was saying, let's put Gary Shandling together with Jerry Lewis. But my God.
Yeah, so the quote is, no, I can't do this. He refused to be photographed with Gary Shandling.
My God.
No, I can't do this. Gary, you have to call first.
How weird is that?
Jerry.
That'll be mentioned on Larry Sanders, no doubt.
Jerry on the Zoo.
Jerry Lewis, what a life, what a career. What did you think of Eddie Murphy's Nutty Professor?
It was my financial pleasure.
My financial pleasure.
God. Oh, God, Jerry.
See, when you talk about Whitney Houston, she's a great vocalist. Okay. When you talk about Tim Allen, he's a great comic.
That's debatable.
I don't know that Tim Allen isn't qualified to do all the things I do, or all the things a chaplain did. I don't know.
What a pompous ass.
Yeah, putting himself into Charlie Chaplin's category.
Of course.
He may not want to do more than he does, or he may know his limitations. But when you talk about Sammy Davis Jr., you're talking about somebody that was injected with a spirit to be a total performer.
Jive ass.
I got it from my dad.
Not so, Sammy, I mean Jerry.
Yeah, and really, it's okay that he's saying that, which is true, anybody that's ever seen Sammy Davis Jr., but then
Sammy.
But then you hear Jerry, who is not really complimenting Sammy Davis Jr., he is comparing himself to Sammy Davis Jr.
And pointing out how much better he is, just like he's doing Dean Martin.
He says he's injected with this ability. I got it from my dad.
Right.
I mean, it's like, Jerry, hello!
He had a very simple philosophy. If you're going to be in this business, do it all. Know it all. Learn it all.
Yeah, you know it all.
Absolutely be aware of your craft, and then go out on the stage and have a great time.
Shut up, Jerry.
Giving the people their money's worth. My dad used to say to me, if you walk off stage and you didn't sweat, you're an amateur.
What a jive ass Jerry Lewis is, man.
Give me another lozenge. I need another lozenge.
How do I find out if that's true or not? Do we have the number for the American Comedy Awards? It's in Los Angeles. I guess it was Sunday night. It's already happened?
Yes, yeah. They taped it, and it's coming up on Fox.
Oh, it hasn't run yet?
Right, right.
I'd like to know if that's on the level.
What's the name of the person that wrote the article?
Shoe Factor. Shoe Factor with you. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes, hello. You're on the air.
Hey, I want to thank you for busting his balls. That guy is, I've just been dying for you to pick on this guy. He is,
who, Jerry?
Huh?
Jerry Lewis?
Yeah, that guy, you guys did such a number on him a few months back, and he is just, every time I listen to that guy, I just can't even believe it.
Well, see, most of the time now, I think it was Dennis Miller that said that he doesn't laugh at Jerry when Jerry's trying to be funny. He laughs at Jerry when he's trying to be serious.
Oh, hey, listen.
Exactly. If anybody needed his balls busted, it's that guy.
And about Dennis Miller, all right, thank you, my friend. We always like taking a hate Jerry call.
Sure.
About Dennis Miller, somebody has been giving him Rosie O'Donnell pills.
Oh, really?
Because every time I see that show, he is so nice to people.
Yeah, and the interview segment he doesn't even need on that show.
I watched it last night, and Drew Barrymore was the guest.
Yes, was he kissing her butt, too?
Wouldn't you expect the outspoken Dennis Miller, you know, the Dennis Miller cats, that had, let's look at the camera at a jaunty angle, go, what's up with that cat?
Right.
Would you expect him to grill her a little bit about
the tattoos and the, and flashing David Letterman,
her
lifestyle.
Whole lifestyle.
Sure, yeah.
No, he comes out and she sits down and he says, babe, you were great in The Wedding Singer. And then she says, it was a real joy working with Adam Sandler. Mm-hmm. Adam is such a great guy. He makes everybody feel so good. You know, that's a real good movie. That's a movie we did, and that's the point when I went, click.
You didn't miss anything after
that. Did you watch the rest of the Buzz?
Yeah, I did. You didn't miss all.
That's a bummer. Who neutered Dennis Miller? He used to be a guy who you could count on to turn on TV and see something out there.
And he's, got the contract with HBO, so keep the edge, Dennis.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was using the F word a lot, which I think is great.
That's great. He does that liberally.
Because in real life, everybody uses the F word all the effing time.
But are we in agreement that when you're watching that show, that the interview segment is normally the most awkward and the lamest? His monologue is okay.
Next to the phone calls.
And the pictures.
Yeah, the phone calls. He struggles through those calls. Yeah.
He limps through those.
Yeah. We should get some of our callers calling him up.
I thought they did.
Hello.
Dennis Miller. You have any jelly?
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, you've got to be kidding me. Jerry Lewis thinks he's actually on par with, like, Charlie Chaplin?
Yeah, well, you heard him. Yeah.
What a joke!
Have you heard this?
You've got to be kidding me.
We have a collection of tapes of Jerry Lewis talking about himself.
The sanctimonious Jerry. The Jerry, the holier-than-thou Jerry.
What a jerk-off!
All right, thank you, my friend. Apparently we're opening some people's eyes to Jerry Lewis today.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
I don't know about who's around that understands that today. I think that what is missing in a lot of our performers today is passion. I think that some of them think that's a sign of weakness. I have never had a problem with tears. If they come, they come. And I make a very, very simple deal with everybody. You take me exactly like I am, or you can't have me.
Isn't it a pain in the ass?
Can't have you. Oh, I want you, Jerry!
Isn't it a pain in the ass hearing somebody who's lucky enough to have that kind of life,
right,
and to hear him lecture us about how smart he is and how lucky we are
to have him,
to be on the planet with Jerry Lewis? Jerry Lewis?
And just remember, you wouldn't have his picture taken with Gary Shandling. Call me.
Call me. You have to call first, Gary.
Call first.
I don't need you in my dressing room to tell me I was wonderful because I know it while I'm doing it.
Oh.
I also know from the inner government how bad I did if I did badly.
The inner government would be, that would be, of course, Jerry's incredible brain.
Yeah, right.
That's the inner government. That's the Politburo, if you will.
Right, because there could be no one who could ever say to him in real life, hey,
right.
Jerry,
yeah.
You know, you kind of bombed.
Yeah, absolutely.
What he means by that is, you're right, yeah. He knows in his head, every show's great.
The inner government.
The inner government.
My mind.
Come to my dressing room when I'm hurting. Don't come for the victory dinner. You got to come both times.
So what that means is if you want to come backstage after he's had a killer show,
yeah.
You got to come backstage when he's had a not-so-killer show.
That's right. Jerry wishes you to visit him in his dressing room, kissing his ass both times.
Jerry.
Otherwise, the inner government will be mad at you.
Offstage, Jerry Lewis refused to be photographed with Gary Shandling.
Of course.
No, I can't do this, he sternly told a photographer. Gary, you have to call first.
Yeah.
Imagine that. That's an insult to a real funny guy, Gary Shandling.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we've yelled about Gary Shandling and what apparently is his limited work ethic.
Yes, which we understand.
But at least he's a funny guy.
Very funny guy.
How do you deal with the constant criticism you get for it?
You suck, Jerry.
The same way Babe Ruth dealt with striking out.
Oh, God.
Listen, okay. Sammy Davis Jr., Babe Ruth, Charlie Chaplin. We're leaving out the Pope and Jesus.
About what the anger is at
yes,
you.
There's,
what do you make of this?
There are six people in Chicago that think that I am creating a pity atmosphere. I can't be concerned with six people. I'm serving 1,500,000 patients of neuromuscular disease.
Oh.
I'm serving their families.
You know, if he didn't have that to hang his hat on, people would have tossed him out on his ass a long time ago.
And even that, and nobody can argue with the work that the Muscular Dystrophy Association does, but even that, Jerry, it's the doctors that are treating these people. Okay,
yes.
You raise money, you do great, you raise that money with the Jerry, you're not treating them. They're not your patients.
I'm serving their lives. How do I allow that to be dissipated by six people in Chicago that think I'm some kind of a moron?
Shut up. Here's the best tape, though. This is the best Jerry Lewis tape. This is the one where he's talking about hugging 10 men.
Oh, yeah.
This is the one that.
Oh, yeah.
This is the one that's off the scale. That
yeah.
You know, you could get a room full of psychologists and ask them what does this mean, and they would be stumped. Jerry Lewis.
But do you ever think about
yes.
not being there?
Of course. Absolutely.
And
it saddens me to think that I'll miss her graduation, maybe.
His daughter.
But I have a very simple philosophy. There are 10 men standing against the wall.
Let me get this now. If there are 10 men standing against the wall.
With no particular reason, they're just there because Jerry's there.
10 men standing against the wall.
I will go and start to hug them.
All right. I will go and start to hug them.
For no particular reason, they're standing against the wall. Jerry will begin his hugs.
10 men against the wall. Got Jerry it. Wants to hug them.
Okay. Knowing that 3 are going to turn me down.
Not 3 two. Men will turn him down.
Not 2, Don, not 1. 3 out of the 10. That leaves 7 that are hugging him.
So I should stay over here and not go for the 7? Doesn't make any sense. I got news for you. When you go, you usually get 8 and maybe 9.
What?
So you would say to men watching in their 60s who have...
Shut up, frog.
Hug me. So does that
mean... What the hell does that mean?
Does that mean, seriously, if we were ever to bump into Jerry at any kind of function, we could go, Jerry, how about a hug?
7 out of 10.
Come on now.
And you know, he would say, F you.
Yeah, absolutely.
He'd walk away.
Of course.
Jerry.
He spit his lozenge at us.
Make
Jerry.
An appointment.
Hello.
He wants to hug you around the waist.
Don and Mike show. Say, hey, Jerry, the inner government wants to say hi to you.
You think your inner government would allow a hug?
Hello.
Yeah, have you seen Dennis Miller has a new set of choppers? He's got false teeth now.
Sounds to me like you have no teeth.
You know, Jerry Lewis probably hugs him around the waist. You know what I mean? Sits on his knees.
Wow, get towel off, sir.
Yeah, hello. That's right, you drank the poison.
That's right.
Come on, talk in your real voice.
Check out Dennis Miller's. Your teeth is something wrong with his teeth now.
All right, hold on. If you want to talk about Dennis Miller, talk in your real voice for a second.
I can't talk. This is my real voice.
All right, I'll tell you my opinion on Dennis Miller's teeth. I think Dennis Miller has fake teeth a la Regis Philbin.
Like caps?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. They look bigger and phonier than they've looked before.
Yeah, big porcelain.
He can take them out and put them in a bowl.
All right, I shouldn't ask this, but do you have any problem with your mouth?
Sometimes I do.
What is the problem? What's the nature of the problem?
The teeth.
What's wrong with your teeth?
I pull them out and put them in the drawer, too.
Oh, so you have dentures?
Sure.
Can you take them out right now?
I don't have them in.
Oh, you don't have them in?
Couldn't you tell?
No.
Don't you think you might need your teeth?
Yeah, when I leave the house.
All right, could you put them in now so we can hear how you sound when you put them in?
Going out of the room. I'm not going in there.
You're not going in there.
No way.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Ooh. See you later, hon.
I love Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don and Mike. When I was little, I used to love Jerry Lewis until I saw an old home video or the old home movies, silent home movies.
Yeah.
My parents drug me to one of those, you know, let's go over to Bob's house to watch the old home movies
uh-huh.
of Jerry Lewis. It was a film of him going over in a dinner show when he was doing those things in Vegas.
Yeah.
Putting his foot down on this guy's steak while he was eating it. And the story I remember was that he chewed this guy out for doing that GD thing while he was doing his act.
For eating a steak?
For eating his dinner. You do that before or after his show, but during the show you give Jerry your full attention.
So he walked over and he put his foot on the guy's steak?
On the guy's steak.
Oh, man. I take the steak and I throw it at him. That is amazing that he would. But you can believe that he pulls something
yeah,
like that.
Jerry.
Sure.
Because he's Jerry, man.
And I mean, he didn't try to give the guy a 10-guy hug. He put his foot in a steak.
Okay.
Well, it probably was a clean sock.
Hello, Don and Mike. Sure. Yeah, because he's phobic like that. Jerry Lewis wears a pair of socks once
mm-hmm.
and throws them away. And do you remember the jive-ass story behind that? When I was a young boy, we didn't have a lot for the simple
essence. That's right.
And I said to myself, if I ever make something of myself, I'm going to wear a pair of socks once and throw them away. That is the true story.
That's it. That's right, Jerry.
From Jerry.
Jerry. And we actually got hold of one of those socks one time.
Yes, we did. There was a limo driver that gave us one of Jerry's monogram socks that he left in a limo, and we auctioned it off for charity or something, didn't we?
We certainly did. Somebody owns that sock now.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, I think I might know what Jerry was trying to say with the 10 guys on the wall thing. Maybe he was trying to say something like nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Yeah, of course that's what he was trying to say, but
I mean, it didn't make any sense. It was convoluted and it didn't work.
You know, first off, he's going on the thought that everybody wants a hug from Jerry Lewis, and by hug he means wants to be entertained by Jerry
right.
Lewis. And hey, if there's a room of people there and I don't try to entertain them,
sure.
You know, what's the point?
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to be the Dalai Lama, and he's not, you know, that's the one guy he hasn't compared himself to.
Yeah, we get the point.
Okay.
We understand it.
All righty.
Thank you, Dr. Freud.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you for the call.
Yes, I'm calling for Don and Mike. Listen, morons. Let me explain to you what Jerry was saying.
Marvelous. It's marvelous.
It's just a marvelous role with a tremendous company.
Marvelous.
And we're having the best time. We don't understand that they pay us for this.
Marvelous.
I have mellowed with this whole project in that I think that I can best expound on it and as simply as possible. I've had a marvelous ride. I've had a tremendous career.
Marvelous.
And for a man who's pushing 70, you figure you will kick back and look at your scrapbooks and think
marvelous
of the stuff you've been.
Marvelous, Jerry.
The last thing in the world you ever think is someone's going to bring you this marvelous cake.
Marvelous.
Put a cherry on top of it and say you're
a marvelous cake.
It's like taking a racehorse out of the fields in Kentucky, and he's been eating grass for 6 years, and they say you're going to be in the Derby.
Marvelous.
He ain't going to believe it. He ain't going to do it too well, but he ain't going to believe it. And it's pretty much like that.
Why do guys like that want to tell us goddamn stories? You know, you should be glad that someone's asking them a question to begin with. Just answer the question. Don't give us Aesop's fables.
It's great. I love doing the show. I'm real happy that at this stage of my career I could be in a show like this.
It was marvelous.
Did you guys see MC Hammer earlier?
Yeah.
He's going to be back. He was so hot.
He's marvelous.
You know, you...
Marvelous. He's marvelous. Marvelous. His cake with a cherry on top.
You know, we ever see him. That's just like, you are marvelous.
Did you guys
how about
see
hug?
MC Hammer earlier?
Yeah.
He's going to be back. He was so hot.
He's marvelous.
You know,
he's marvelous.
Theater is life, film is art, and television is furniture. You must never forget that.
Jack off.
Boo.
Isn't he something? Jerry Lewis. Will someone on this show please research where I could call up to find that out about Gary Shandling?
He really did turn down Gary Shandling for a picture.
Even if we have to call HBO to try to ask Gary Shandling. Plus, I'd like to call ABC to tell them I'm not in the mood to see a very special home improvement tonight.
Yeah. Okay? Not in the cards for you today. Uh-uh.
Oh, quick break right here, and we'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And again, happy Thanksgiving from all of us here at the NFL today. Now, the IBM Power Poll. This is picked by my guys here as always. Craig, Randy, Jerry, Eric Mann, Bob Matina, our radio buddies, Don and Mike. Everybody in on this one.
The Don and Mike Show.
Promoting testicular self-examination. The Don and Mike Show.
Forget about it.
You've been out in the hall showing everybody your funny, goofy teeth.
Yeah, no, I kept him in here this time. I was just doing a little putting.
And you know, sometimes when I get bored, I answer our request lines.
Right.
I do one of my trademark gag voices.
Of course, yeah. You know, people don't realize.
Brilliant with those voices.
Virtually indistinguishable from your real voice.
Yeah, I use my regular voice. I keep picking up the phone. I go, hello, Don and Mike Show. And the woman starts mumbling something. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if this is someone who's trying to get on the air to goof with us, but for the last 5 minutes off the air,
right,
it's been my understanding that she thinks she's calling a bank, and she's asked for her balance.
Okay.
First, I told her that her balance was minus $7,000. Then she got very upset.
Of course.
Okay. She said she didn't have a checking account. She only had a savings account.
Right.
Then I said, well, I'm showing a negative balance in the savings account. And then she said, well, I deposited 3 checks yesterday. And I said, all right, tell me about the checks. And she said, one was for $302. And I said, oh, yes, $302. That was also returned. So now she's still on hold. Okay, so put her through now. Put her through now.
Someone's dialed the wrong number. It's wrong. Wayward caller.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, can we help you, please?
I was calling to see if I can get my savings account number.
Yes, I've just been told that your account is overdrawn by $7,624.38.
No, it can't be.
Yes, and you made a deposit yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And all 3 deposit items that you made yesterday were returned.
Were returned?
Yes, now I have one of the managers with me.
Hello? Hello?
Yes?
Yeah, how you doing?
Fine.
Account that we're talking about here, that we're looking at here, is roughly $7,000 overdrawn.
$7,624.38.
I never have that much money in my account.
I understand that immigration put a stop on the account.
The who?
Immigration. The immigration department.
Can you make sure if you have, like, the right name? If
right.
It isn't mine?
I have the account number right here. The account number is 666-666-666.
No, that's not mine.
Well, I thought you were calling to ask what the account number was.
Yeah, but
the account number I have. Let me read it back to you. Maybe you didn't get it the first time. The account number
starts with a 6, Mr. Silverstein.
Is 666-666-666.
And I'm showing. I am showing a negative balance of $7,624.38.
No, that's not my account number because I remember some of the numbers and I have only a few 6 and I don't have like 6666 all together.
Are you sure that you have not gotten the wrong account? Because the account number...
We are going to need the $7,624.38 by the close of business today.
Can you check on the name of my social security number or something?
This is Teresa. This is your name is Teresa, right?
Yes, Medina.
Yes, Teresa Medina. Yes. We are going to require $7,624.38 by the end of business today.
Or we will simply have to close account 666-666-666.
I don't have that account.
That is your account, Teresa. And you made 3 deposits yesterday. One of them for $302. That check was returned, hand stamped by the Immigration Department.
Immigration?
Yes.
See.
I deposited that check yesterday.
I know.
Did you deposit the check into account 666666?
No, I don't have that account.
Well, we are showing that as the current account.
So if you want, there's an outside chance we could have you come down to the bank and work it off.
Are you good with numbers?
Would you like to be teller? We have a teller for a day program here that we, when people actually have a delinquencies or they're not able to withdraw the money, they come down and they can be tellers for a day.
Yesterday, when I deposited my money... I was able to withdraw $20 from my account.
The money that you deposited in account 66666.
We will need that $20 back, making the total $7,644.38 with a $1 service charge, meaning that you now owe us $7,645.38, Mr. Silverstein.
Would you be interested in the Teller for a Day program?
What's that?
You withdrew 140 pesos yesterday.
What?
Yesterday you withdrew 140 pesos.
What?
Hey, listen, honey.
Hey, lady, we're junking with you.
Senorita, we're disc jockeys.
That's right, you've called a radio show.
Ay, ay, ay.
You're not overdrawn. We don't know anything about your account. You're calling a radio show.
Senorita, I was talking to you during the entire commercial set, and now you're on our radio show. You've called...
What radio are you?
Yes, we are the radio. Where are you calling from?
What radio are you? Where are you?
I'll tell you if you tell me what town you're calling from.
Riverbank.
What city do you live in?
Riverbank, California.
We're all the way in Washington, D.C.
We are
a couple of gringos named Donaldo y Miguel.
We do a comedy radio show.
Perhaps you know us by our street name, El Diablo, the devil.
No, you're nuts, because this is the phone number I have here on my statement.
Okay, listen, I want to tell you something now, senorita. You have called a radio station.
You have dialed the number incorrectly. If that is the number on your statement, you have made a serious error.
Can you tell me a phone number?
You are on the air right now at 1-800-636-1067.
Okay, that's what the operator told me.
Don't blame it on the operator.
No, the operator has made a serious mistake, and so have you. That is why we have been joking with you for this period of time. You see, we know nothing about your account. We were making that whole thing up about the $7,000.
I mean, I'm here, trying to...
Yes. Yo estoy enfermo de la cabeza.
Buenas noches.
You are majorly.
Majorly.
All the way from California.
Yes, I know.
Trying to get my bank statement.
Okay, senorita, for the last time you misdialed, you called our radio show by mistake.
Why didn't you tell me?
Because it was so much fun. Because you were believing that you had an account number 666666666.
And you believe that you owed $7,624.38.
And you see, we looked at that as pretty good comedy material. And it was all in fun.
So do not worry.
Everything will be fine with your bank statement.
I was not having fun.
You never saw such a bit.
What?
Oh, that's a great one. We'll put this on the best of Donaldo y Miguel.
Pedro says that was big laughs.
So listen, you've dialed the wrong number.
And everything will be fine.
Oh, sure. Now you tell me.
Yeah, now you tell me. Hey, gringo. El Diablo.
Where is that anyway?
Where is what?
We're radio station or wherever you are.
We are in hell.
Well, I can't tell that, but what city, hell?
What city? Washington. We're in Washington, D.C.
Nación's capital.
Washington, D.C.?
Yes, right. Capital de Nación.
What?
Capital de Nación.
Oh, I know that.
Are you in this country legally?
Yes.
You are.
Fantastic.
Of course.
Very nice.
That's wonderful.
So what do you do, like... What can comedy show just laugh among people?
Yes, we laugh among people, yes.
That's right. We laugh at ourselves, we laugh at people that caught us,
see.
We laugh at people we see, we laugh at lots of people.
Before you caught, we're laughing about Jerry Seinfeld. He's going to make over 2 billion pesos this year for his hit show Seinfeld.
Bueno, Jerry Seinfeld.
See.
You're kidding.
No.
You must be some joker from the bank.
Yo, that's right. Yeah. I'm the joker from the bank.
That's right.
That's what all responsible bankers do.
That's
they
right.
make up things about your account balance.
My name is Mr. Mooney, and I'm the manager of this bank.
Mrs. Carmichael, that is a time-locked vault.
Okay, so what are your names?
Donaldo y Miguel.
Aldo y Miguel.
Donaldo y Miguel.
Hmm. And what's the show called?
Donaldo y Miguel Show.
Let's see.
What radio station is it?
Do you live by Sacramento?
Nearby.
We are on KHTK.
That's right. You can listen to our show right now.
To K-what?
K-H-T-K.
Those are the call letters, my slow-minded friend.
Oh, and what station here in Sacramento? The same one?
Yeah, sounds like you are on siesta. Your brain is on siesta.
Why don't you wake up and pay attention? We are trying to tell you something.
Okay, tell me.
All right, go call your bank. You have called disc jockeys.
Dial the right number next time.
Uh-huh, okay, I'm going to call back just to see if it is really you.
Okay, very good.
I'm going to tell my friends.
That's good.
Very good. Bueno, you've been on the radio. You're very famous now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I will have a Dos Equis tonight for you, señorita.
And you know what I will do? I will take a corn tortilla and I will cut out a smiley face and look through it.
Oh, no, thank you. I don't know how to do all that stuff.
Wasted days and wasted nights.
Hey, that is Freddie Fender.
Freddie Fender.
I'm a big fan of his.
Me too, no?
Well, bye. I need to call my real bank.
Yes. Feliz Navidad.
There you go. Goodbye. Hey, that was the wrong number, everybody.
That's yeah. all that was.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
He's like a beat unto himself. You have the Bears beat and the Cubs beat and the White Sox beat. Chicago's a town now that has a Mike Ditka beat. We have to watch what he does every day and watch what he does after every game.
The local press has made it into more of a thing than it really is because, like you say, I mean, we've seen he's really not hasn't done anything that he hasn't ever done before. I mean, it's more to the forefront because of the way the season's going.
Coach has got a right to yell at a player just like, you know, a boss has a right to yell at his employee. So it doesn't really affect me. I take it in that context.
He was dead wrong. The last thing I said in the meeting, and he understood me.
I can't remember a time this year that he's really dealt with a player in a harsh way or whatever where he didn't come back to the player and say, hey, you know, I was wrong or I overreacted. And that's why I say that this year, to me, I think he's been tremendous with the team.
Mike Ditka this year, I think, has had a problem motivating his players, truly. And I think the talent level is down. I think everybody is to blame.
I think I motivate as well as any coach in football. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure I don't motivate as well as any coach in football ever has. That's a bold statement to make, but I'm making that statement.
You have to motivate yourself, and, you know, the extra motivation comes from him, and I still think he's done a very good job with that.
I think McCaskey knows that he can't fire Ditka. Ditka's going to leave on his terms.
I really believe that he's just an emotional being. I mean, he plays that way, he coaches that way, and I really believe that he enjoyed what he's doing.
That formula worked for an awful long time with the Bears. You know, they were very successful. Now the team is not a good team. You know, they got a defense that doesn't rank better than 20th at any time this season. And when you build a team and count on the offense like they have right now, then you've got a team that's very volatile and unpredictable, much like Coach Ditka.
The Don and Mike Show. With or without lubricant, they're still two of the best jerks around. Don and Mike.
So make sure you're listening tomorrow, the St. Patrick's edition of Strip Trivia. It's done.
Yes, the green clothing will be falling to the floor.
Oh, yeah, and we're going to hold you to that. Please, when you come to the studio in your five items of clothing,
right,
make as many of them as possible green.
And in honor of that, I bought my green underwear and my green socks that I'll be wearing tomorrow, my St. Patrick's Day underwear, which I got at Target. Well, they're good for underwear.
I mean, it's fine. I mean, it was sitting there, and I said, you know, I don't have anything like that, so why not go for it? And I went for it, and I like it. It's a little snug.
Here's a question for you. What color does green and brown make?
Green and brown makes a very nice uniform. And I'm sure by the end of the show,
okay.
I'll be ready to wear my uniform proudly. Okay. And it's, you know, it's a one-shot deal, so there's no problem. Just drop them in the trash.
Throw them away.
Probably throw them away on my way home. just take a pair of scissors.
Oh, man.
You know, just so you can actually pull them right off.
Have you ever thrown away a pair of... I mean, everybody's thrown away a pair of underpants. But have you ever peeled a pair of underpants on and had that debate... Should I put them in the laundry or
the trash?
Should I, like, go hide them in the trash can?
Yeah, and then, like, lift up the rest of the garbage and put them
it underneath?
Down. The question would not be if I've ever done that. It'd be when was the last time I did that.
I'll tell you when I do it. When I'm primed to do it, we're on the road. When we go out of town.
Especially those West Coast trips.
Man, you know, because it's like I always buy something. I always buy a shirt and buy something for my wife and my kid. So I never have enough room. And I always go, well...
True.
Dirty underwear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, expensive. Just leave it for the maid.
Sure, absolutely. And sometimes you have to leave it for the maid.
Oh, yeah, many times.
So, yeah.
Many times.
Many times.
How about you, Rob?
Oh, all the time.
Now, come on, really?
Once.
You ever do only once?
Once.
Buzz, how about you?
Maybe once or twice in my lifetime that I can remember. Yeah.
Has anyone ever thrown away underwear here at the station?
No.
Valid question.
No for me.
Yes.
Yes, wow. I have.
Don and Mike, yes.
Rob, have you ever thrown away underwear at the station?
Only one person I know of that.
Let me say this, though. And there she
Hello.
Is. let me say this. I think the only time I threw underwear away here is like when we got dipped in chocolate.
Right.
When everything got dirty.
Not me.
Really?
I had another. They were plaid, too.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, it was not that pleasant. And I know David Hainline has done it twice.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, imagine that. A pair of underpants. And that's the debate you have. You're looking at them and you go, do I bring these home? Do I open myself up to ridicule with my wife?
Right.
Or do I just throw them away?
You know where I hit them?
Where?
You know the wastebasket in the bathroom? You know where we throw the towels after washing our hands? That's where. I went deep, too.
You know what that means?
Yeah.
That means when Ben went to empty that trash can into a larger trash can.
They were exposed.
Of course, everything on the bottom.
They fell out like almost. You know, they fell out like Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger in The Getaway. You know, coming out of that trash truck.
Oh, your underpants probably came out, walked out, said,
"Hello, Ben."
I wasn't pleased. And if anybody had walked in on me, I mean, it was playing the. You know, I was gambling. They would have seen me like down to about my shoulder.
Peeling your underpants off and putting them in the garbage.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, crap. Hello.
Yeah, that's it.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I'd like to have a complaint.
You'd like to have a complaint?
Yeah.
Well, now you didn't even form that properly.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Well, I called up for that strip trivia, and they go, number four, and then I was hung up on.
Well, that would be the abrupt way that we answer calls. They were telling you that you were the fourth caller.
See, and they have to do it very rapidly because we have to get call number 100. That's who we start with, you see.
The what?
I'm sorry we didn't have time to explain that to you.
And I was speaking English, sir, so you should have understood.
Very complicated process. You were the fourth caller out of 100.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's what they said, and then it, like, hung up on me and went,
right.
You know that.
That's how well
was what
it?
A moron.
Right.
No, fairy godmother didn't like that guy.
You're right, Granny. That's how we do it. We say number four. Hello, click. Hello, Donna Mike.
Yeah, I need Donna Mike's website.
We don't have a website.
You don't?
Nope.
Okay.
Okay. Later. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, what? Hey, I wanted to get on strip trivia. I look like a chef in Isaac Hayes.
What was that? What? What was that?
You know, what?
Well, listen, we've had plenty of brothers play the game before. And I'll tell you this, very disappointing as far as, you know, the stories that you hear about brothers.
Yeah, a lot of those guys did not live up to the stereotype.
Teeny weenies, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, not me, man. I had a deep voice, too.
Well, listen, no doubt you do, but we already have our winners.
Hey, Buzz, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm feeling good.
We already got our winners, though.
Buzz, were you drinking beer today?
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Why don't you listen up?
Listen, I'm listening.
All right.
We already have our callers.
Hey, you eating chitlins today?
Who's eating chitlins today?
Are you eating chitlins?
No.
Oh. You got Sanford and Son? What's happening?
I'm playing the What's Happening music.
Yeah, I'm JJ and Rerun combined into one.
All right, thank you. All right, goodbye. Huh. Hello, Don and Mike. Show. Race is so funny. Hello.
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 Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sitting in West Virginia here at West Virginia University.
West Virginia.
And we can't get you guys over the radio.
Why? We're on there.
We can't get you down here.
Is it
for some
of...
reason in Morgantown, we can't get you on the radio.
Are you in that part of West Virginia where they haven't gotten the electricity yet?
Just a lot of mountains, man. Just a lot of mountains.
Well, that's a bad choice, then, of where to go to school. Because, of course, mountains will screw with the station's reception.
That's why the school is called, the Mountaineers,
yeah,
right?
You should have gone to a flat school. I'm sorry. It's your fault. Sorry, we can't help you.
That's right. It's a beautiful part of the country, and you get all the fresh produce you want.
Don and Mike Show.
I've got an underwear story for you.
Go to school out in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
It's big and flat out there.
As far as the
signal goes for miles.
Yeah, the terrain is flat.
Mm-hmm. Hello. Don and Mike.
I'm ready.
You ready for what?
Strip trivia.
Hey.
what do you mean?
The end of the round.
What do you mean by that? We already have our contestants, sir.
Oh, you do? I'm sorry.
All right. Yeah, we got him already.
I'm ready.
All right. Well, listen. Prepare yourself. I'm sure you'll be ready to listen to it tomorrow.
I'm definitely ready.
Gotcha.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Timely man.
Bye-bye. Hi, Dynamite Show.
Hi, am I caller 100?
No, I'm sorry. You're not caller 100. what are you calling for?
What was that again? For the mortgage.
For the mortgage.
No, unfortunately, we will have to see your green card before.
Okay, I'll show it to you.
What is your name?
Mirna.
Mirna. Mirna. Where are you from, Mirna?
Mexico.
Hey, ahí. Of course you're from Mexico. Buenos días.
Buenas tardes.
Right. Hey, Mirna.
So?
Mirna.
Casa de Pepe.
Yeah.
I wish I remembered how to say some of those words in Spanish that I was trying to learn to my son. Donde está Casa de Pepe?
Casa de Pepe, senorita.
Mm-hmm. So am I caller 100 or not?
No, of course not. You are not my little fajita. No, you are not.
Do I still get a prize?
No, you do not. Yes, we will let you stay in this country for another day.
Whatever.
We will give you a fine service job.
Why are you guys so mean?
Wait, what do you mean, why are we so mean? Who are we being mean to?
To me.
No, we are not.
We are not being mean to you.
We are being like you with you, like we are with everybody, Mirna.
Oh, you're wrong.
You're wrong.
I love you guys so much, and you're so mean to me.
Well, now wait, do you love us or do you not love us?
I love you. It's like a love-hate relationship.
Oh, we love you too, Mirna.
Maybe someday I'll let you be my maid, okay?
Whatever.
That'd be A-OK, Joe.
I'll never clean you.
All right, yes, you will.
Goodbye, Maria. Or whatever your name was.
Mirna.
Mirna, I'm sorry. Mirna.
Oh, Mr. Don, Mr. Mike, who left these shorts in the garbage can? Mr. Mike.
Mr. Mike, they're plaid with some sort of stripe.
I need a stick to take Mr. Mike's underpants away.
Mr. Mike, I have certain jobs I will not do. I will not throw these away.
Whoa. Don and Mike Show. Oh, you're so mean.
You are mean, Mr. Mike, to leave this biohazard in the trash can.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, I got an underwear story.
No thanks. My call. I realize that may be the wrong call. Could have been a story that would, you know, put us over the top, but I didn't think so.
Well, when talking about underwear, though, it's best to keep it in the hands of professionals.
Hello.
Hello.
Like Maria or whatever her name
Mirna.
Was.
Mirna.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Don on my show.
Hi.
Hi there.
I had a comment about the underwear.
All right. What is your comment?
I just wanted to say that my husband never throws his underwear away.
He just never tells you.
Oh, you have to deal with it? Is it awful?
It's awful. It's terrible.
Why?
It's unfair. I shouldn't have to do that. He will not throw his underwear away. They're rags.
Oh, they're just rags? You mean...
They're disgusting rags, okay? He should throw them away himself.
What do you mean?
He makes his wonderful wife do it for him.
Are they just holy?
They're holy and disgusting.
Are they colored?
Of course.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, they are.
Briefs or boxers?
Briefs.
Mm. Briefs.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Hey, you should tell him to throw them away at work like Mike O'Mara does.
I will.
Like
I'll
radio disc jockey Mike O'Mara does.
Thank you. I'll tell him.
All right, goodbye.
Thanks, bye.
Bye bye. Not me, man. If I got a pair of underpants that is even slightly tainted,
mm-hmm.
most likely I will toss them because I don't want the ridicule from my wife.
And you said you have thrown away a pair here?
Yeah, but only when we were dipped in chocolate.
Oh, okay. Never for any other reasons.
No, never had.
But on the road you have for other reasons.
Oh, yes. Every time we go do a live show somewhere. As a matter of fact, after a Las Vegas-style show, I don't even look at them. I just get home and get a plastic bag and throw them away. Throw in the backyard and dig a hole.
Oh, man.
Hello?
Hey, Don, Mike.
Buddy.
I got a joke for you, man.
Everybody wants to tell us jokes.
No, this is a really good Mexican joke.
No, we just had a really good Mexican joke.
No.
All right, what is it?
Okay, here it is. What did the Mexican farmer name his two twins?
What?
One and two.
All right, see, that wasn't even funny.
Okay, how about Hose A and Hose B?
No.
Lousy. I get jokes.
Did I get a prize?
No.
Oh, I get it.
No, you don't.
I get jokes.
Hello, Dynamite Joe.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, how about Denise and the nephew?
Hey, bueno.
Hey.
Busta, buddy.
Hey, bueno Arbusto.
Hello.
Donna Mike Show.
Hey, buddy. You too.
It's Thomas Aloysius Gavin Tag to his friends.
Yes, it is.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
You'll never be as good as Dennis Murphy.
I'm better than Dennis Murphy.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Right. Yes, I am.
No, you're not, Parrot.
Right. Yes, I am.
Dennis Murphy kicks ass.
What? What's the language on there?
Dennis Murphy is a true performer, Tom.
I am, too.
No, you're not.
No, Tom, nowhere close.
Yes, I am.
Nope.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey, Tommy, how you doing,
buddy? How you doing, buddy?
Tell him, Buzz.
I'm good. I'm good, Tom.
No, tell him.
Tell him the truth, Buzz. Yes, sir.
Tom, maybe someday, but as things stand now, you're just not as good as Dennis Murphy.
I'm better than Dennis Murphy.
No, you're not. And that was Buzz telling you that, Tom.
Hey, Rob, tell Tom. Come on, tell him.
Here's Robbie Spiewak.
This is Rob Spiewak, Tom.
Hi, Tom. It's Rob. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
You know what?
What?
You've really fallen apart as far as performing goes. You suck lately.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Who's better, Robbie?
Oh, God. Dennis is better. And I'm as serious as a heart attack.
I'm better because I go
Tom, pipe down. You're no good.
I go out to all the bars.
Buzz?
Yes?
Who puts on the best show?
Oh, Dennis Murphy.
Dennis Murphy is so good, especially the last time. Oh, he's the best.
He's
the best.
Last Saturday.
He's better than you with one hand tied behind his back.
He didn't do it. You know what?
What, Tom?
He didn't do it.
Hey, Tom, you ever have to throw a pair of underpants away?
Nope.
Really?
Of course not.
Because they get so bad?
Nope.
In order to do that, you have to care.
Dennis Murphy's really funny, Tom.
Oh, he's the funniest, Tom. Don't you think he's the funniest?
Nope.
He's great.
Yeah.
What are y'all going to do tomorrow? Strip trivia?
Yeah, we're going to let Dennis come down and look at all the naked girls.
I can come down, too.
No, only Dennis.
No, you're not allowed.
Only Dennis, because he's special.
I can come, too.
No,
Dennis comes down because he's special, Tom.
Prince Dennis Murphy. Prince Dennis.
Tom Gavin, Prince Gavin.
No, my favorite performer of all time is Dennis Murphy.
My
what?
My show kicks ass on cable.
Dennis doesn't have to be on cable. What's that noise, Tom?
Someone's drilling.
Someone's drilling what?
They're putting a wall oven in.
A what?
A wall oven.
A wall oven?
Yes.
Why are they drilling a wall oven, Tom?
No, he's putting it in.
Oh, he's putting it in, so you're right there with the workman?
Yep.
Dennis Murphy could do that better. Dennis is really handy.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
He is the most handy guy in the world.
Dennis Murphy's the tool time guy.
I'm better than Dennis Murphy.
No, you're not.
Dennis Murphy is a genius.
I'm better than Dennis Murphy is.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
How do you spell better?
D-A-N-N-I-S. Dennis sucks.
How do you spell better?
What?
How do you spell better? The word better.
D-A-N-N-D-E-R.
Perfect.
That's it. All you
right.
Got it.
All thanks,
right.
Tom.
You're a better speller than Dennis Murphy.
Yep.
You got it. Bye, Tom.
What?
Why?
You all right there, Tom?
Nope. I'm going to kill myself.
All right. Well, if you do that, make sure you call us and do it on the air.
Okay.
All right. Bye, Tom.
He will.
And there he goes. That'd be good for ratings point. We'll come right back. Sorry, we're out of time.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.